about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, you can probably feel the anticipation through your screens. Have the champagne standing by. We're almost there.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
I'm on Netflix. Not a Hulu. I'm on Netflix. Not on Hulu. Cosby Show. Netflix. Hulu.
No point in that at all.
Let it breathe. You don't create a fine wine and then drink it right out of the grape bucket.
And now.
Everybody needs to stop picking on my man, Bean. I mean, you know, sure, he's gay for Gordon Lightfoot. Sure, he's an interview killer. He leaves jokes out there to die and doesn't take them back. But it could be a hell of a lot worse. He could be a woman. Right, Callie? Shut up.
Our feature presentation.
I like that guy.
Oh my God.
He takes a swipe at everybody.
I wasn't expecting that.
Shut up. Love it.
Hey, party people, what the hell is going on, don't you know? It's Tuesday now on the Kevin and Bean Show, is that
right?
Right?
Yep.
I got a question for you, Lisa May.
Okay.
And by the way, you look lovely.
Thank you.
This words with friends nonsense that you waste all of your time with.
Mm-hmm.
She has, at any given point, probably 4,000 games going on.
At least, yes.
How does it, I don't know because I don't care, but how does it work in terms of how do you get in touch with the people that you play with? Is it only friends? Is it, you know, people you're friends with on Facebook, or how does it work?
Well, I am playing with quite a few listeners, like Paulie.
Paulie, yeah.
Yeah, he and I are playing.
Just emails you and says, let's play a game.
Yeah, what's your name?
Yeah.
And they just tell you what their player name is, and you tell them what
I
the player name is.
And
a lot of people use whatever their name is on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, so you can find people that way too.
And you'll just get a note that'll basically request a game from somebody, and you can have as many games going as you want.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. What's your record? I mean,
I think I've got...
You about 50-50?
Oh, you know, winning games?
Yeah,
probably about 50-50. I'm not great.
And is there any other social media aspect to it in terms of a way to talk to those people within the game rather than just playing the game?
Yes, you can send messages to people while you play the game. So listeners will ask me questions sometimes.
I see.
And I can respond to them. So it's kind of cool.
How many of the people who want to play Words with Friends with you are just guys figuring this is my way into her panties?
50%. The other 50% just want to wipe me off the face of the earth.
Do they chat you up though during the game? Do they put the moves on? Or?
I get the occasional move.
Here's the thing though, Bean. There's
and then they play words that are, you know,
sure,
little, dodgy, right?
Yeah, dodgy. Yeah. Exactly.
On the line. So, but the thing is that you can cheat. You can completely cheat. There's programs to help you.
Yeah,
cheat.
There are programs to help.
So
you
Lisa
cheat.
Started doing that for everybody.
No, there's one person who's actually a good friend of mine who I know cheats.
Did you ask?
I saw this person look up a word in a dictionary once when I was at this person's house while they were playing, and I said, wait a minute,
you're not
supposed to do that. So I finally won a game. This person did not challenge me to a new game.
How about that?
Interesting.
What do you think about that?
Well, the reason I ask all these questions is because this is the first time I've seen this in the news, is Words with Friends opponents met and got married recently. He lived in the Netherlands. She lived in Chicago. Now, I don't know how, that's why I was wondering how it had happened. I mean, it sounds like an invitation-only game. It doesn't sound like you randomly get hooked up with somebody to play, right?
Well, wait, can you?
You do need to look them up, but if they're on Facebook, you could find them that way. Maybe it's a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
I think there's different ways to find
them. I think there's also a random
there might be.
Thing to it.
I just
King of Mexico
done
told
that.
Me that. There's you could just hit a random player and just anyone will come
up. Oh, all right. Yeah. I've never done
That's
that.
That's interesting. Well, he moved from the Netherlands to live with her in Chicago, and they got engaged, and then they got married.
No kidding.
They played Words with Friends for several months, and I guess escalated the way you're talking about, where you can send messages within the game. And then from there, they, you know, moved on to email and then Skype. And then the next thing you know, they're dating and then living together and then married.
Did they play
words? Be the first one, right?
Did they play Words with Friends for the vows? Set up there in the game. Good. 10 points.
Well, it doesn't say that here, right. But that's they got an interesting story to tell about how they met, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's really interesting.
So apparently people have been married through stumble upon through Google Maps and through Google Plus in the past too. So I guess it's however you meet people, social media is part of it.
Any way to come across people that are outside of your circle.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, so good luck. Next time you log in to play Words with Friends, Lisa, who knows? You might finally get yourself a husband.
She cheats.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
That didn't make a lick of sense. Does anyone know what that man said?
Let's take a look at today's Kevin and Bean show. Pretty self-explanatory. That's not the right word, is it? Jared and Brandy are in the studio today.
Yeah.
Talking about their show, Storage Wars.
Yes. Yep.
Now, Kevin, be nice. Be nice with the Storage Wars. Yep. I know how you feel about it.
Well, okay.
And it's awesome.
It's awesome if you like a show where they buy other people's junk.
You mean where they make a living uncovering lost treasures, if that's what you mean, yes.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Todd Morello will be on the program today.
Wow.
He, of course, the guitarist for Rage Against the Machine and Night Watchman and Street Sweeper Social Club. And he's got a comic book out. He's going to do a signing in town, so we're going to give you that information today.
You would think with three bands, you wouldn't have time to also have a comic book, but he manages to do it all. Plus, get arrested every weekend.
That's correct, yeah.
He's a busy dude.
Plus, we are going to give you a few more details on the Kardashian magazine, which is sure to be a hit. Let's be honest.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
The Kardashians have a lot to say.
Yep.
There seems to be an insatiable appetite for that family with Americans.
Yeah, I don't understand it except for Kim's hot.
Yeah. Right.
There's that.
Right. And if she were naked in a lot of things, I can see why people would gravitate to that. But otherwise, who cares?
From the TV show about Bean's life, Parenthood, we have Monica Potter on the program today.
You. She's so
how
good.
Dare you?
Seek is the person who's Asperger's.
Asperger's, yeah.
She's so uptight on that show.
you found out things late in life that everybody else knew, and you came across and you went, what? Is that the case? And then everybody's like, how can you possibly not know that?
Yeah.
But that happens all the time. It happens to us all the time. So we're going to take your calls on that. Got some Afro for you today. The King of Mexico has a new song for the Clippers.
Woohoo!
He loves himself the Clippers, and finally they've got a team that, at least on paper, looks like it might go far into the playoffs.
Well, they're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet like they usually are at this point in the season.
That's correct, yes. And I don't know if you saw Jimmy Kimmel a couple of nights ago, but he had Chris Paul on, speaking of the Clippers. And it was great, because Jimmy's a Lakers fan, and he would not let Chris Paul off the hook. I mean, he just kept hammering him, and it's just fantastic.
Well, I hope if the Clippers end up having a better record than the Lakers, that Chris Paul goes back on the Jimmy Kimmel show for another interview.
Jimmy said, how long will it be before you and Blake Griffin are Lakers? He didn't like that very much. He was not thrilled with that. So that's coming up as well. Plus, do we have Coachella tickets?
I believe so.
Plus, we have tickets to Coachella.
Yay!
Ella.
I don't know if you saw the announcement yesterday, but you can go to krock.com. And check it out. All the bands, the headliners are Black Keys, Radiohead, and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Or as USA Today this morning put it, Dr. Drew and Snoop Dogg.
Yes! That'd be so much better.
Wouldn't that be a great show?
I love Dr. Dre, but can you imagine Dr. Drew? Sipping on gin and juice? That'd be awesome. So we have tickets for that coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey!
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 Not together.
Hey!
We'll work on that. We'll work on that.
Hey!
We'll edit that out.
Hey!
It's the world-famous K-Rock. It's 551.
Hey!
It's Kevin and Bean Show.
That's not annoying at all.
Hey!
It's Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show for
our
first of the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. You excited about our Storage Wars guests later, Ralph?
Am I ever?
Yep. We got to make Kevin leave the room.
Can we stop using beer mugs bad yep as the yep?
That's not it. That's the guy.
Yep.
That's him?
That's the dude.
Sounds like mug from the back of the room somewhere.
Yep.
That's as high quality as we could get because there's usually a lot of noise going on.
He's the man. And by the man, I mean Dick.
Yeah.
Yester. Yeah, we had Brandy and Jared coming on from Storage Wars in a couple hours.
That's tonight. Really going to be good.
I brought in a box to see if I can get him to bid on it. So my old crap I pulled out of my closet, and I just taped it up in a cardboard box. And said, hey, how about this? Hey, we got that over there. $50 here. I got $50, $75 here. I got $50, $75.
Just empty it. Just have it completely empty.
Empty box?
Yeah.
Let's see what
Look,
happens.
I know we've talked about Storage Wars a lot, and I don't want that job either. But the thrill of buying something and not knowing what it is must be so exciting. You must never get over that.
until you open it and you realize it's nothing but crap. And then you go, wow, that's a letdown.
Oh, until you open it and you find a Picasso.
Yeah, because that happens most of the time.
It doesn't happen most of the time. It happens some of the time. Nothing happens most of the time.
That's right. So most of the time, the show blows.
Look, they wouldn't still
be in that
business.
They don't show the ones where there's nothing in there. They show you the things that are interesting.
And they wouldn't still be doing that for a living if it weren't profitable. So therefore, more often than not, what they buy is worth more than they paid for. That's
exactly
the thrill of it.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
In a couple of weeks when this the show collapses, I am going to go right into picking and storage war auctions.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
All right.
A buddy and I talked about it. I got a buddy of mine in New York who said, when it all goes south, we're going to buy a van. We're just going to drive around the country and start picking.
I like it.
It's like Frank and Mike. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news for today, Tuesday. Christy McNichol, is that a name that anyone knows?
Yes.
Yes, but why?
She was on the show Empty Nest, a sitcom many years ago on NBC. She was on a show called Family as well, started off as a child actress. She has stepped back into the limelight after 20 years for a very good reason. She's a lesbian. And she decided to come out of the closet. She told People magazine that it was time to open up about who she is because she's very sad about the epidemic of kids being bullied and hopes to support the youngsters by stepping out and saying, yes, I'm gay and it gets better and all that other good stuff.
I might be naive, but
yes,
doesn't seem like we're past coming out.
No, sadly.
Really?
Yeah.
Because when somebody says, oh, I'm coming out, you go, all right.
Yeah, well, we do here in the big city.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they do along the other coast, but there's a big, big country in between those two parts of the world. And unfortunately, there's still a lot of prejudice and discrimination against gay people, especially when kids are in high school and stuff. And it's nice for them to say, oh, that person, I didn't know. And look at them. They've had a happy, successful life. Maybe that's in my future, too.
Wasn't it just two seasons ago, Adam Lambert wouldn't even come out when he was on American Idol? He had millions of people watching him on television who could tell he was gay.
They were afraid
he
it would hurt his votes.
There would have been a backlash with a lot of people. Yeah, so it's not quite there yet.
Yeah. While we're talking about gay, we should talk to this guy. Funny guy, interesting guy. He's a celebrity stylist. His name's Simon Dewan, and he is a gay dude, and he's got a new book out for men for weight loss. It's called Gay Men Don't Get Fat.
I think that's true.
I think it is, too. And he says, because there are only two food groups, gay food and straight food. He said, sushi is a gay food. You take big slabs of fish and you make it little bonbons. That seems really gay to me. Beef burritos, however, he said, are straight food. The trick to effective dieting, he says, is to balance your gay and your straight food choices.
Interesting.
He says the gayest food, he thinks, are macaroons.
Macaroons.
Yeah, if you lived on macaroons, you would just explode into a nuclear cloud of gayness, he says. And it's a very funny book, and he's got some interesting tips, but apparently his diet tips are actually pretty healthy, too. So maybe we'll talk to Simon. He's a funny guy. Here's the good news, people. It's the beginning of the end. Mark your calendar. Say this was the day it all started to turn.
Okay.
Jersey Shore's season debut.
Yes.
14% less than last year's season debut.
That's good news.
And the debut usually is higher than, you know, week two
the
on.
The debut and the finales usually are the biggest rated shows of the series for Jersey Shore. And
well, they weren't gone long enough for us to miss it.
Nobody really tuned in so much to watch this time.
That is awesome.
It sure is. You know what else is awesome? The Jersey Shore cast apparently looking for other ways to make money because they can't book personal appearances anymore. It's not that they're not allowed to. It's that they're overexposed and no one's interested in booking them.
That is awesome.
All those Vegas deals they used to do and all the club dates and all that kind of stuff, that's all drying up. Nobody wants to pay the Jersey Shore to show up anymore.
So depressing to go to Vegas and see those giant billboards with their faces on it.
Yes. Vinny.
No more.
Just be a big sign that says Vinny. like he does something. Like if you went to see Vinny, you would see a show of some kind. You wouldn't. You'd see an Italian kid.
That's it.
That's it. That's all that happens.
Kind of a dick, too.
Yeah.
So.
No, Vinny's okay. Vinny and Paulie, I think, are okay. The rest of them are dicks.
I'm sure they've all saved their money, though. So
yes,
that's okay.
Exactly. We were talking the other day about comedies and sequels and how that rarely works because the essence of comedy really is surprise. And once you have been exposed to the characters and the premise of the story of a comedy film, and then you go back and you try to revisit that and you try to make a sequel out of that film, it often falls flat. The example being used the very example being used in that conversation was the film Bruce Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey?
Sure.
Where God comes down and touches him on the shoulder, and is Morgan Freeman. He says, hey, I'm going to give you powers and going to teach you what it's like to be me.
Right.
And then they said, oh, we'll make a sequel. Well, yeah. Jim Carrey's not interested. Okay, well, we'll do Evan Almighty. We'll make it with Steve Carell. We'll do another one with
him.
It was horrible. Same premise. God comes down.
Already seen it.
Already seen it
and seen it better with the best jokes already used.
Right. Not funny. Well, yeah. Universal announced another Almighty film.
All right. All we need now is a competing one from another studio.
Another spinoff on the Almighty series. Another sequel in the works. No word whether Steve Carell will sign up for this one or not. I'm guessing not. They'll pick someone else, and he'll meet God, and he'll have to build an ark or something.
Stop it. Yeah.
However, they are making another Police Academy movie. Now we're talking. Police,
stop it.
Police, yeah. No, they're going to reboot the franchise, Lisa.
Start all over again.
The original came out in 1984. The last one, of course, was Police Academy Mission to Moscow. We remember that from 1994.
Really?
Yeah. So the plans are start brand new with a whole new cast, reboot the Police Academy franchise. Can you imagine being a screenwriter for a living in Hollywood, trying to sell your wares, and you've got original ideas and well-written scripts and fresh new concepts?
This is good, but...
And you're trying to get them made, and they say... Oh, if we hadn't just committed $30 million to the new Police Academy film we're working on.
Can you write that?
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Rod Stewart. Rod the Mod. 67 years old today. I hope he sings more standards soon. That's my favorite. He sings songs from the 30s. George Foreman, former heavyweight champion of the world, is 63 years old today. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies is 48. Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords celebrates his 38th birthday. Chris MacDaddy Smith of Criss Cross make you want to
jump.
He's 33 years old today. And Sarah Shahi, our buddy Sarah Shahi from Fairly Legal and from Life. And she's just couldn't be more adorable and more talented. And we hope to have her in soon because she still owes us, you know, because she stiffed us at Comic-Con. Because she had food poisoning. That's what Kevin calls it when he can't stand up because he's too drunk.
How dare you?
She's 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So much going on these days, including, of course, the Coachella announcement yesterday. We have all those details for you at KROQ.com. Radiohead is going to be playing Coachella 2 weekends this year. And Radiohead, we're giving away tickets to see them at Coachella. And then you're eligible for the grand prize, which we're going to do on Monday for the KROQ World Tour 2012 Destination Number 2. Radiohead in the south of France, ladies and gentlemen. Come on,
come on, right?
Sweet. So we got those for you coming up at 9 o'clock this morning is your first chance. Then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9 tonight, you can win Radiohead twice from the world-famous K-Rock.
If you've listened much to the Kevin and Bean Show, you know we are split in our love of basketball between the Lakers and the Clippers. And by split, I mean King of Mexico is a Clipper fan. That's it. That's all there is.
Yep.
And every year he comes up with a song, and I believe he's got a song this year as well. But I would like to play first. Chris Paul, for those of you that don't know, is the number one guard in the NBA.
Point guard.
He's considered the best point guard there is. And this is the guy that the Lakers traded for, and then the league stepped in and said, no, you know what? No. And then the Clippers got him. So now he's playing with the Clippers. And he is just lights out great. But Jimmy Kimmel's a Laker fan.
Oh.
So he went on Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and Jimmy really, really turned the screws to Chris Paul and just was like totally mocking him and everything else. This is the intro from Jimmy Kimmel for Chris Paul.
Like Beckham and Gretzky before him, our next guest has been summoned to breathe life into a lifeless LA sports franchise. As a result, his once miserable team now sits atop the NBA's Pacific Division. Here now from your Los Angeles Clippers, CP3 Chris Paul.
All right, so then he comes out and he sits down. Seems happy, seems fine. He's a good interview. Mm-hmm. Well spoken, really just an amazing.
And by the way, this is part of why players in other basketball markets want to come to LA is because they want to be part of this. They want to be the guest on the late night talk shows and soak it up. So I think Chris at this point is still having a good time.
But now considering the past, which Jimmy is going to focus on, which is that he was coming to the Lakers first. And then that got next, and then he was going to the Clippers. This is Jimmy.
Welcome to Los Angeles. I wish it was under better circumstances.
What you mean under better circumstances?
Are you? Well, let's not pretend you did not want to be with the Lakers when you first heard you were traded to the Lakers. You were excited, right?
The thing that you learn about this league, the NBA, is that it's never over until it's over.
I'm just so excited now to be a Los Angeles Clipper.
Yeah.
That's great. You are too. You're happy for me too, right?
I'm happy you're here in town. I wish you were on the Lakers, to be honest. I'm a Lakers fan.
This guy was one of the first people that I got a text message from when everything happened.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth.
I was so excited. That. I was beside myself with joy.
And you still should be.
And then that bastard David Stern came in like the Wicked Witch of the East, and he flew in on his broomstick, and he... So you weren't upset? Did you think about suing the league when this first happened?
No, man, no.
You know, there's no other way he can answer.
Of course, because he's on the Clippers.
He could be 100%, you know.
The truth was, he was going to sue the league.
Was he really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it, yeah.
No. Did you write an angry letter to anyone? No. Had you heard of the Clippers before this?
You better cut it out now. You better cut it out.
So Jimmy keeps doing it, and Chris Paul starts saying, "You better cut it out." Like he has a great sense of humor about it, but he's about had it at this point with the Laker jokes. Because let's be honest,
he feels like that was the "All right, I'm sitting down, and you're making fun." Okay, now let's move on and make it positive, right? Hey, Dave, let me ask you this question,
yes, sir.
And it calls for speculation. I don't expect you to know, but as a Clipper fan. Is it possible that Chris Paul is going to be happier as a Clipper than a Laker because he's the big star of the team and they may end up being very competitive?
Well, you know, I think they're going to be competitive for the next 2 years. But remember, you have
That's
Blake Griffin.
That's all they're signed for, by the way.
Yeah, you have Blake Griffin, who is the Clippers. He is the Clippers. As big as Chris Paul is, it's all about Blake Griffin. Everywhere you go, it's Blake Griffin.
I think
Paul is going to lob it to Blake Griffin, and he's going to make the exciting play.
Right, but that would have been the case with the Lakers, too. It would have still been Kobe Bryant. He wasn't going to be number one, but I'm saying he's got a higher profile, and he gets the credit for the team being really good now that he's joined it.
If he can turn them around and make them, you know, like get them into at least to the Western Conference Finals, I think he stays, and he stays for a long time because he knows he has a good squad.
Well, he was saying that he's happy to be on the Clippers, not the Lakers, because the Clipper fans have been waiting for something, you know, like this for a long time.
All those Clippers fans who have been here for a long time, we're going to give them something to cheer about.
But there's only six of them.
So he says that. Chris Paul laughs. Oh, that's funny. There's only six of them. And then Jimmy comes back with, well, the Clippers can be counted on for one thing. They are consistent. I'll give them that.
The one thing I can always rely on is that the Clippers screw things up, ultimately. Just when they get a little wind in their sails, and they're named after a sailboat, you know.
Why do you know all of this?
Because I just know. Because a hole will rip in the sails, and suddenly you and Blake Griffin go somewhere else. Do you plan to be a Clipper for the rest of your career? Do you think that's something you'd want to be? Or are you just here waiting for a spot on the Lakers to open up?
No, that is definitely not what's happening.
It isn't?
No.
Are you just here waiting for a spot to open up?
The sad thing is, as a Clipper fan, I'm scared of that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a possibility.
It is.
I'm hoping it's not the case.
It is a possibility, and it's a possibility for a lot of other teams, let's be honest.
But
He's only signed for 2 years, as is Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to, what's the saying, make hay while the...
Sunshines,
yeah. They're going to have to actually cash in right now. So Jimmy asked him where he was staying, and he said he was staying at a hotel with his family, and then his extended family's also at the hotel. So Jimmy invited him over to his house.
You can stay in the primary residence.
Well, we're coming.
And we'll talk about your plans to join the Lakers eventually.
That is not going to happen.
Jimmy will not let it go.
He won't let it go. And Chris Paul was on the show for two breaks, and Jimmy just kept on hammering him.
Well, you're going to have to get used to this. I mean, because honestly, like, these Clippers jokes are something they're not even jokes. They're statements of fact.
So then Chris Paul finally has had enough of it. And I don't mean he's angry he's had enough of it, but he's playing along really well, considering it's pretty uncomfortable, and he really does have to give the answer that he's happy to be on the Clippers and all that stuff. But he tells Jimmy that he has a plan, maybe, for a little payback for this interview.
I'm going to start off the game with a turnover and just throw the ball at you as hard as I can.
So then he says, I have a gift for you, Jimmy. And he brings out a box, a black box, and it has the Jimmy Kimmel Show logo on it. And it's the new Chris Paul shoe. Ah. He's coming out with a new shoe. And it's just one of those commemorative type things.
Special edition.
Special edition.
Of his shoe.
Specifically for Jimmy Kimmel. And it's in this beautiful box. And Jimmy opens the box and pulls out the shoe, and there's only one of them.
You only got me one shoe?
Yeah.
The Lakers would have had two shoes.
The Clippers are so cheap.
The Lakers would have had two shoes. What a burn. So anyway, Chris Paul, great sense of humor. Really a good interview. And I think he's going to be great for the Clippers as long as he's on the team.
Yeah, as long as he stays
healthy.
Dave's
got a song. We don't have time for the song here, Dave. I wish we did. I really wish we had time for
the
song.
We were going to play the
song.
We
usually play the Dave song, but we don't really have time for that because we got a lot of stuff coming up.
Play it.
We have Tom Morello.
Come on.
Play it.
Play the song.
I'd like to. I really want to.
The people are clamoring for it. The business line is ringing.
All right, maybe we'll take a break and come back and play it.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. This is Dave's love for the Clippers. And finally, he's got something to actually talk about when we get back. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. If you haven't heard yet, Coachella, the announcement is out, all the bands, and all the information we've got coming up for you here on the world-famous K-Rock.
And I believe we're going to actually give away a pair of tickets to Coachella, the very first pair of tickets to Coachella on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show as well. Plus, Monica Potter from the TV show Parenthood is going to be joining us, Jared and Brandy from Storage Wars, and Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, who's got a comic book out. Tell you how you can meet him and buy his book. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, Dave, the King of Mexico, has been a Clipper fan for a long time. And when I say Clipper fan, I mean Laker hater.
No.
Yes, let's face it. Be honest, Dave.
Nope.
Be honest.
I am honest.
Listen, I'm fine with that. I understand why people hate.
That's
Lakers.
True. I do hate the Lakers.
But I can understand why people hate the Lakers. That does make sense to me. And I love Kobe, but I can understand why people hate Kobe. I get that side. And really, that's about 99% of your love for the Clippers.
Nope.
Let's be honest, because what has there been for you to hang your hat on? I mean, since Blake Griffin came, maybe, but
don't forget about Elton Brand.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
And Corey Maggette's awesome arms. They were buff.
Okay, they were buff.
Isn't nice, that shiny the sign of head. A true fan?
Yeah, but I'm saying
they got nothing to hang their hat on, and still they go.
Other than that, I mean, and the fact that they always lose, and then it always gets screwed up by their owner. It just there's nothing really to be a Clipper fan for.
But I see where Dave's coming from, and Lisa's right. I mean, look, I listen to or watch all 162 Mariners games every season. They haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years. Doesn't make me love them any less or follow them any less.
Right, but
just because they suck.
But you live there.
Right.
And he lives in L.A. and the Clippers are his team. Okay, but if there were two teams where you live, Bean, you would pick the one with the bad owner and the one that didn't work?
I don't know.
Listen,
I
would class. The Clippers are a blue-collar team. That's me. I'm not bougie like Lakers.
And that's another point Dave brings up, by the way. He can afford to go to the Clippers games. And I think there's an attraction there, too, is that's his team because he can go see them. He can't get a Lakers ticket.
According to the piece of paper that Dave gave me, Saturday's game, the last game was the Clippers 92, the Brewers 86. And I didn't know the Brewers. That's what you put, the Brewers.
Oh, way to go, Chip.
I don't know why they were playing the Brewers, but we do have some clips of former songs that Dave has done. Dave has done some songs for the Clippers. Every year he's got a new song, and he's very excited about it. He brings it in. He world premieres it. It's always great. The first one was Clipper Life.
Hey, welcome to the Clipper Life. This ain't the same team, but I hold on to my dream. A championship rings the Clipper Life. This team is blue collar. Don't make them big dollars. Still make the fans holler. The Clipper Life.
That's
still
not bad, right?
That's bad.
Damn good.
I enjoy all of Dave's songs.
Woohoo!
That's not bad.
That'd
so
be tough to top.
So you got Clipper Life, and then he followed that up with Clipper's Gonna Be Alright.
Yeah. Ben brings the O. Kevy brings the D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right. That's right. Clipper's gonna be
alright. Alright, not everything's a hit.
Yeah,
that's awesome. What are you talking about?
You're two for two.
You can't come with hit after hit. Woo. Sometimes you have a miss. That's okay. And then he had this.
CLIPPERS. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything. Represent the Clippers all day, every day.
That was a pretty one. That was good.
That was a pretty good one,
except for put on anything.
Was that our old friend Miss Cleo, by the way,
yes,
singing along with you on Run
no,
This Town?
It
nice.
Wasn't.
Oh, was it?
No,
it
wasn't.
No.
Sounded like her.
And then there was, of course.
Oh, wait. Yeah, it was. Never mind.
Thank you, Dave. And then there was, of course, Clipper back.
The Clipper Nation's back. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah. The Lakers suck, and we know that. Yeah. We're playoff bound, and that's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't.
By the way, that's the one that started it all, and I think that was the time when we were at the worst.
Yeah.
No.
Dave, you're halfway to a Clippers tribute album, dude.
Man, I am good. These songs are hits. I like them.
How about this?
Wow. How do I?
Oh, no, no.
Remember this? This is awesome.
I say goodbye to this season.
All right. This is when Dave was real. His spirit was just broken.
That wasn't the best one.
His spirit was just broken. He was a broken man. He was like, oh, man, I wanted to be a Clipper fan so bad.
That's what
just,
I paid you. I hate
we
that
miss
one.
Brand and live instead.
All right, we can't listen to that very much.
That save our ears.
Now you have a new song.
Oh,
you have new enthusiasm because do have Chris Paul,
yeah.
Blake Griffin. It's a different season, and this is a team that if they don't make the playoffs, there's going to be something wrong because they're a team that's going to
make the playoffs.
I guarantee
they'll make it.
Yeah, thanks, Dave, for your guarantee. You say that every year. All right, tell us about the new song and what we need to know.
All you need to know is that this song is called Clippers in Paris.
Begin sequence. Now, a K-Rock World Premiere. Exclusive. K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clippers not supposed to be here. Ball so hard, since we here, you know it's going to be the Clippers' year. CP3 and Chauncey, all-stars. Take your pick. Butler, Griffin, Jordan, our team is sick.
The Laker era is over.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets
gross.
The people going.
When Blake goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. 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 Dre goes up, you know it's going to find him. CP3. And Chauncey. Lob City. Clippers in the zone, Staples Center our home. You about to get on, Lakers be dethroned. That's right, Clipper Nation, rise up. 2012 is our year. Shoutouts to Clipper Darryl, DJ Dance. I see you, Dance. What up, Fung? Dave the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan. Clipper Nation forever. Suck it, Kevin.
Yeah! Now we're at the point where there are more shout-outs at the end of the song than there is song.
I like it. Dave, buy it.
Maybe you shouldn't take on Jay-Z and Kanye. Maybe you should.
That's all I know, man. That's all I know. I flow like Jay. You know, I produce Yeezy. So
I didn't realize that.
Man.
I was unaware.
Awful lot of honkies in here.
Right now it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, which is always our favorite. There's too many stories with animals involved. We'd like to do them all. We don't have time, so we put them all on a wheel. Today on the wheel, we have the cat with two faces. We have Olay, the dog that survived an avalanche. We have the Hasselhoff crabs. We have the Hang Ten surfing goat. We have the badass super soldier ants.
Uh-huh.
We have Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
Aww. Oh, Boo. Come on.
Boo blows. We have the
awesome.
The albino cyclops shark, and we have the Indian scalping leopard.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So those,
I thought that was a jaguar, by the way.
Could be, yes.
Well, ship's on fire today.
Those are our options, and let's spin the wheel, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
I'm hoping for the Hang Ten surfing goat, but of course I have no control over the wheel. Wherever it lands, that's where it lands, and that's who we call, so let's go.
All right, it is the Hasselhoff crab.
Oh, how about that? I'm interested to find out more about that. What's the deal with the David Hasselhoff crab?
Well, it's they found it in a deep sea expedition in the Antarctic, and it's super, super, super low point in the ocean where it's really, really cold, and they found this new crab, and I guess the people who find it can name it. I guess that's how it works. And this crab is very hairy. Crab has hairy on its chest, has hairy on its back, has hair everywhere. So the person who found it named it the Hasselhoff crab because of the hair on the chest.
All right.
How about that? There's an actual crab named after David Hasselhoff.
That's correct.
We asked producer Dave if he could line up somebody for us to talk to for this story, and I think we go now to Antarctica for this telephone call. Hi, Kevin and Bean Show here.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
We have you are Hasselhoff crab. You are the Hasselhoff crab?
I am. I'm the Hasselhoff crab.
Okay.
Just hanging here offshore.
Right.
So it's not that funny.
Hoftastic.
Not even hoftastic a little bit. So it's big news, I guess, whenever they find a new species, something that exists on the Earth that scientists have never found before, and you have just been revealed to humanity for the first time recently.
Yeah, how about that? That's Shello Fantastico.
Now, you have a lot of hair on your chest. Apparently,
yeah,
that's...
I'm a very manly crab.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you need hair for living deep in the ocean like that? It seems like I understand why you have hair above ground where it might protect you, but what can you be protected from in water?
Well, these hairs actually are used to capture a plankton and other kinds of foods that I can eat. So they're more setae than they are hairs, but they look very hair-like.
Now, I got you. Are you familiar with David Hasselhoff, who is a human being? Do you know about him?
No, I don't know much about your humankind.
Okay.
He sounds like a guy I'd like to hang out with.
Well, they named you after him, so I mean.
That's great. Yeah. That's terrific.
Yeah. Now, I think it's amazing.
The Hoff crab loves to rock.
Right. Right.
I'm just impressed that you've been living so deep in the ocean off Antarctica all these years, yet your English is flawless.
Well, you know, you pick up a little bit here and there hanging around these deep sea vents where the volcanic water comes out of.
Do
you?
You?
Know? Yeah.
How does that work out exactly?
Well, there are bars down there. You can have to hang out with some people. I like a nice drink once in a while. Well, it may be hard to believe.
You
like to have a nice glass of vodka. Or some fish.
Sure.
Or tequila.
Yeah.
You know, wow. It's just to relax me, that's all.
Our David Hasselhoff shouldn't drink. I'm guessing that's the same with you.
Well, I'm having a drink right now. It's just,
I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, that is good. Yeah.
Okay. But if you're named after Hasselhoff, I'm worried that you may have the same traits he has, the same problem holding his liquor.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Oh, you don't sound good.
That hit you fast.
Well, I drink a lot. I live in water.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right.
That's true.
You
okay?
Yeah, this is a mess.
Oh, this is a mess. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a crab.
You are a crab.
Average crab boy.
Right.
This is a mess. Yeah.
Sounds tough. You know what this.
Fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. Half crab loves to rock.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. How do you get tickets for Coachella?
Okay, here we go.
Can I go to the festival? Is there a hotel nearby there?
There is a hotel nearby, yes.
Do they serve crabs?
I
don't mean serve crabs. I mean, will they give me a room?
I can't answer that. I really don't know what their crab policy is.
Maybe I come out on stage and announce Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're not playing.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
It is a mess. Right, maybe you should lay down.
Lay down? I'm a crab. You think I'm standing up?
That's a good point.
We'll break down the Coachella lineup for you. Two big weekends this year. Coachella out in Indio. We'll talk about that and give you a pair of tickets between 7 and 8 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Whoop-de-woo! What does that mean?
I don't know. Okay. Just trying to generate some excitement. Place is dead.
Come on, people. Wake up. I'm not sure that did it.
Oh. It's Tuesday. That means we take a look at the new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD that are available for you to check out. If you haven't seen Moneyball, for example, with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill, you may want to pick that up on DVD or Blu-ray.
I haven't seen Moneyball with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill.
Huh? Then it's a good day for you to be
out. I got to tell you, I hate baseball, and it was a great movie.
It was.
The Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon and Emily Blunt. See, there's angels who wear hats.
Yeah.
And the power is in their hat.
Yeah.
I like that movie, too.
Oh, Lisa.
Yeah, skip that one.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
Yes, it was.
Lisa.
Skip that one.
What are we going to do about Lisa? Killer Elite with Jason Statham and Clive Owen.
That's a good one.
That's right, Clive Owen. I'm going to get you because you kidnapped Robert De Niro. Here's the whole film. You don't need to see it anymore. Charlie St. Cloud with Zac Efron and Kim Basinger.
Nope.
What's your number? Anna Faris. Paul. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Seth Rogen as the voice of Paul. If you didn't check
it
out,
go.
It's available
good
today.
Good choice.
Sinners and Saints with Paul, Sean Patrick Flannery and Tom Berenger. The Scorpion King 3, Battle for Redemption, starring Victor Webster. You know, action star Victor Webster.
Sure, that guy does everything.
TV shows on DVD. Boardwalk Empire, the complete first season, is available today in a box set. And CDs out today. Fallen Empires by Snow Patrol. New Snow Patrol CD available. Oh. And Peace of Mind by Revolution. So there's your update for what's new. Speaking of what's new, Van Halen's got a new album. How about that? Van Halen working on a new studio album.
Woo!
Woo! Panama!
Woo!
But this is news because this is the good Van Halen, right?
This is the original. This is the OG. This is the first line of Diamond David Lee Roth as frontman once again. Their first album, I think, since 84?
That's a long time.
Is that possible?
That may be right.
Here's a clip.
No, here's new Van Halen. They got this album coming out, I think, in March. Of course, they've announced their big tour. They did a big announcement show in New York City last week in a 250-seat venue, and apparently blew the doors off the place. But it's 250 seats. Of course, you can blow the doors off the place.
Is Fat Halen still playing the bass?
How dare you, sir? His name is Wolfgang Van Halen, Wolfie to his friends. And
Fat Halen to me.
Michael Anthony was no poster boy for Jenny Craig. You know what I'm saying? So I think we've actually lost a few pounds at Van Halen by having Wolfie play bass.
All right.
Here's the new song. This is the first release they've teased us with off the album. It's called Tattoo.
Tattoo.
And it's interestingly enough all about tattoos.
Hmm.
How about that? Swap meat salad. Trim snap cat. Housewife to mom shell in the time. To get that new tattoo. Tattoo, tattoo. Tattoo, tattoo. Show me your dragon magic. Tattoo, tattoo. So autobiography. That sure sounds like Van Halen.
I'm not a huge
Van
Halen.
But worse.
Does it mean? Because I was going to say.
I think that sounds terrible. That sounds like a terrible song.
Van Halen's fan, and that sounded just as good as anything else they've done.
So I'm a Van Halen fan. I like it, and it sounds just like Van Halen to me.
Huh.
Sounds like a song you put on in the summertime when you're driving in your car with the top down and the radio cranked.
Screaming, tattoo!
That's right. When you're on the way to get some ink, some fresh ink, yo.
Sure.
Sure. There's a little tattoo for you. You can check that out in, I think, March. I think that new disc is going to drop. The Kardashians are bad.
Really?
Yes. And now it turns out they're bullies, too. There are several websites online right now, like BoycottKim.com and BoycottTheKardashians.com.
Right.
And this story from the New York Daily News reports that their legal team is starting to push these people around and threaten them with legal action.
How? Isn't that...
Interestingly enough, Kevin, they have found a very sneaky legal way to do it, that one of the sites... BoycottKim.com is trying to get the Kardashians off of E. I mean, they're really an anti-Kardashian site, which, right, by the way, I am 100% in favor.
Right, but it gets great ratings, so don't waste your time.
Right, but still, we can voice our dissent, because this is the great country of the United States of America.
Of course.
And they posted the story about the fact that the clothes that are made by the Kardashian line use child labor to make their clothes.
Uh-huh.
And so they suggest on their website that you contact the family lawyer, Martin Singer, and express your unhappiness with the fact that they use child labor in order to make their line of clothing in sweatshops.
Okay.
Well, one of the family attorneys is filing on behalf of Martin Singer, the other lawyer, saying that it is a criminal harassment to tell people to bother Martin Singer about the fact that the Kardashians are using sweatshops to make their clothing.
Criminal harassment?
Yes.
Huh.
What do they do? Give out his phone number or something?
No. They just posted his name.
Wow.
And so they are claiming that they're threatening them with legal action. The owner of the site says it's laughable since the site didn't encourage anyone to harass Singer, but rather encouraged them to express their personal opinions. So they don't think there's any trouble. But the Kardashians don't want any sort of negative publicity out there about them, and they will rattle your cage if they get a chance.
Maybe the way to go for the Kardashians is to say, we'll look into this because that's not okay with us. Boom!
No, apparently they'd rather say, shut up! Don't talk about it. Huh. We've got kids busy working in sweatshops here. Move along. And Rooney Mara.
Yes.
Rooney Mara, who, of course, stars in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
She's so good in that.
She is great in that, and she is a very dedicated actress. You know, she got 5 different piercings in one day in order to play that part. Those piercings you see on her face are the real deal, Neil.
Yep.
And she did it all in one day. She said after filming was over, she removed all of them, except for one.
The one through her eyebrow?
No.
Oh.
That's gone. There's one under her shirt.
Oh,
sure.
Okay. All right.
That she left in there. Not so much that she's a favor of having her nipple pierced.
Right.
But she said, what if there's a sequel? I don't want to have to go and undergo the needle again and have that done all over again.
Really?
Just once, that was fine, thank you. I'll hold on to that, and we'll see if there's a sequel, and then I'll have that one in place already. So
she was so good.
Smart girl. Smart girl. In a couple hours, when am I going to do this? I'll do this an hour and 45 minutes. I have the announcement from the Paley Center for Media.
Oh, today. You love these shows.
They are doing their, once again, their Paley Fest, their television festival this year, and they're going to announce today, rather I'm going to announce along with them, the TV shows that will be featured. They do an evening with where you get to meet the cast and creators of some of your favorite TV shows.
Past Come on, Storage Wars.
And so we'll be talking about that in a little bit. So
I like
around.
That because they don't pick the shows that you've never heard before. They pick the big ones.
These are the ones everybody's talking about. Yeah. The people, the rabid fans, they want to get you in the room with these actors and writers and producers, and you get to ask questions of them. There's a moderator. You spend an evening with it. It's really, if you're a television geek like I am and you love TV, it's a great way to spend a night. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later. Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Shahi.
Yes. Oh.
Star of Fairly Legal. She's 32 years old today. Chris Mac Daddy Smith of Criss Cross. Make you wanna
jump, jump.
He is 33 years old. Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords is 38. Crash Test Dummies lead singer Brad Roberts. He's 48 years old. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets. 53 years old today. Excuse me. George Foreman, 63. And Rod Stewart celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let's talk now about you found out things late in life. You went along, everything was normal, and then all of a sudden people were talking about something. You said, wait a minute. Are you telling me that, fill in the blank? And they all go, how is it possible you couldn't have known that by now?
Yeah.
Like, for example, the other day we were talking about News Radio, which was a TV show in the 90s?
Yeah.
I want to say.
So.
It's called News Radio. Mm-hmm. The name of the TV show is News Radio.
Joe Rogan was on it.
Yes. And Bean just recently said, guys, I had no idea that show was about a radio station.
I didn't know that.
Because I had heard the name of the show was News Radio, but I didn't know anything about it.
But
I
never, wasn't the name I knew Phil Hartman was on it.
I mean, I guess in retrospect, yeah, there was a hint.
Yeah.
There was a clue.
The word radio was two of the words of the title.
Yes, there was a... Wait. Isn't the word radio just one of the words?
Words
of
a two-word title.
That's what I meant. Yes, in retrospect, it should have been obvious to me that the show was about radio, but I never saw it. I never read about it. It never occurred to me. I never gave it any thought. And then after the fact, I was like, hey, why didn't anybody tell me? And, of course, the answer was because they shouldn't have to. It's fairly obvious.
A couple of weeks ago, we were trying to get Beer Mug to play something at the bottom of the hour. We said play it at the bottom of the hour. Now, of course, to all of us, and maybe it's just because we're in radio and we're a little more conscious of the time of when we play stuff. But bottom of the hour, I think everyone knows means 30.
Right.
6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, whatever the bottom of the hour is not the top of the hour. But so Beer Mugs played it at the top of the hour. And we said, what are you doing? We said, play it at the bottom of the hour. And he said, I thought that meant the last one of the hour.
He thought if you play it at 59 minutes past the hour, that's the bottom of the hour because it's the last minute of a 60-minute clock, which makes sense. I can understand why he came up with that. What I can't understand is how he's 28, looks 40, and has never heard that expression before in his life with all the years he's been in radio.
That is weird.
That's stunning.
That was stunning, yeah. So what we're looking for, 1-800-520-1067. And last time we did this topic, we got a ton of calls because, you know, everybody tries to stay informed. Everybody is paying attention. But we all have blind spots. And there are certain people who just something comes up and somehow it never sank in. I'm sure the bottom of the hour, you know, hit Beer Mug a couple times in his life and just bounced off of his head because he doesn't listen. But I'm just saying he was probably privy to that information and just it didn't register.
Right.
Just didn't register.
I know that there are times, and it's not a big deal, but it just is a surprise where you'll find out, for instance, two celebrities that you know separately are married and you have no idea. Like you'd never heard that before. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, wait a second. Will Arnett is married to Amy Poehler or something like that, where you go, how did I not know that? Because apparently it's common knowledge, you know?
Even bigger. The bigger, the better. You know, if you didn't know that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt were married.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, the bigger, the better. You something that everybody knows, everybody except for you.
It was on this radio show, the Kevin and Bean Show, last year,
that I heard for the first time, and maybe I had been aware of it and hadn't put two and two together, hadn't realized it, but I heard for the first time that you use Q-tips to clean out your ears. Yep. I didn't know that.
Bean had no idea what a Q-tip was for.
We didn't even believe him at first.
We did. We were like, stop saying that.
Beyond belief.
So true, though. I'd never seen anyone use a Q-tip. I'd never used a Q-tip. I'd never bought a Q-tip to use for my ears. It just, I never put two and two together. Of course, it makes sense now.
Right.
But at the time, it was a big shock to me. I was like, what?
What did you think it was for? Or did you never even consider what it was
for? Never even considered it.
Huh.
Had no idea. But this is the type of thing we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you were the last person to find something out. And then when it was revealed that you didn't know something, everybody was like, how could you not?
Yeah.
Like Philip, for instance, on line two is a pretty good example of the type of thing we're talking about. You think it's common knowledge, but it's not. Philip, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. What's going on?
Morning, guys. Up until recently, I thought Lou Ferrigno had an accent. Stupid.
Now, Lou Ferrigno is the actor who played the Incredible Hulk on TV back in the 70s, and he is deaf, right? That's his deal. Yeah. He's deaf.
He's deaf. And so, you can tell how people talk when they're deaf, but you thought it was just an accent.
Yeah, I swear to God. I watched the show growing up as a kid and everything. The Hulk loved it. Thought he had an accent.
Hey, look, I don't blame you at all for that. He's... Today, as a deaf man, he has less of an accent than Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's been living in this country for 35 years. So I'm with you, buddy. Well done.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for calling. That's a perfect example. I had no idea. He just thought he had some kind of European accent.
Yeah, I love that.
That's awesome. All right. We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 when we get back.
Right now, though, we're talking about you were maybe the last person to find out something, fill in the blank. Everybody else thought it was common knowledge. Man, what a surprise it was for you when you found out what? 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to start here?
Well, let's start with Stephanie, because this is an odd one. Stephanie says she's a rock fan since she was 15 years old. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. So I've been listening to K-Rock since I was 15, and I'm 30 years old, and last year I was listening and I heard the song Pork and Beans and I was like, wow, this is such a good song. I wonder who this band is. And then they announced that it was Weezer and I was like, wow, this is a great new band. How cool.
So hold on. You're 30. Okay. You've been listening to K-Rock since you were 15 and you were completely unaware of Weezer's existence?
Yeah, I was completely unaware. I thought, wow, this is such a cool band. I really like this song.
But what about all of the times that we've had Weezer on the show? We did Breakfast with Weezer. We had Weezer playing the Weenie Roast. Who did you think we were talking about back then?
Not paying attention.
I don't know. But then the next day they played that holiday song, the Hep Hep song.
Right.
And I thought, wow, now they have two songs out. That's so cool.
Don't tell that to anyone, Stephanie.
No.
Well, I did. I called my brother and said, hey, guess what? I discovered this new band, and I want to see if they are touring so we can go see them. And he said, oh, cool. Who are they? And I said, Weezer. And he just started laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to get out more or something.
Wow.
Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it. Raul writes in, until last year, I'm 30 now, I thought the saying old wives' tale was old wise tale. Boy, was I surprised. I guess that's the type of thing, unless you see it written down, maybe you wouldn't know. You just think you're hearing it wrong. Let's try Rick now, line two, 1-800-520-1067. What did you find out that everybody else couldn't believe you didn't already know, Rick?
Hey, guys, it's not me, it's my wife. She didn't know there was clams in clam chowder.
She didn't know clams were in clam chowder.
Yeah, she thought it was potatoes.
Well, I love clam chowder, and I won't eat clams, but I'll eat clam chowder. I could kind of get that.
But
it doesn't taste like clams.
But it's not potato chowder.
I know.
I mean, it is in the name.
It is in the name.
She hasn't had any since, so.
Wow. All right.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Chris, line four, 1-800-520-1067. Chris, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What did you find out late in life?
Hey, good morning, guys. So I was at the fair with my girlfriend, and we're looking at the cows. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how can you tell which one's the male or the female? And she's like, oh, my God, all cows are female. The males are the bulls.
Well, I mean, yeah, technically the females are called cows, but if you're driving down the road and you see a herd of cattle on the side of the road, you just call them all cows. You don't specify which ones are cows, which ones are bulls, but you should be able to tell which one's the male just based on, you know, who doesn't have the udders.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they're not hiding that. They don't have clothes.
Yeah. But if you're not looking for that, you just see, hey, black and white cow, you know, it's pretty much.
I'm going to side with you on this one.
I think too.
You can call them all cows, even though technically only the females are cows. I'm with you on this one.
Tell
your girlfriend to step off.
I think you're okay. All right. Thank you for the call.
All right. We got to talk to Rich. He's my man. He's on line five joining us on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bean. I knew you guys would want to talk to me.
Yep. You bet. All right. You've been a fan of what?
Okay. I've been an Oakland Raider fan for like 35 years, actually.
35 years.
Okay. Right. Since I'm about 6 years old, for the first 15 years until I was like 20 and moved to California, I didn't even know there were a West Coast team.
Where were you living?
Up in Seattle.
Okay.
It was the first football game I ever watched, and they were playing the Patriots, and I knew New England was East Coast.
Right, so you just figured they were East Coast as well?
Yeah.
For 15 years?
For 15 years, yep, until I was 20 years old and came down to California. Is it because you
heard them called the Oakland Raiders, but you just had no concept that Oakland was a city in California?
There you go.
So you thought they were in Connecticut or Massachusetts or something?
Somewhere back there, exactly. Wherever New England was.
Did you just slip in the fact that you're in the military?
Yeah.
Yeah, get out. You know, I mean, respectfully.
I did a long time ago.
Okay. When you're watching games on television, though, and they do that shot of the Oakland Bay Bridge and talk about being in, you know, Northern California stuff, I mean, didn't any of that click with you?
No interest in California at all.
Yeah, well,
the West Coast.
But you don't have. Here's the thing, though: you don't have to care about California if your favorite team is the Oakland Raiders.
I was North. Yeah,
seems like it would come up.
Man.
All right. Thank you, Rich.
That's hilarious.
Whatever your name is.
Dan writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, great topic. I had a homeschooled friend that at the age of 15 thought that girls peed out of their butts. He was shocked to find out they pee out of their yoo-hoo." Well, I'm not sure that technically it's the yoo-hoo, but I get your point.
Let's
Thank
go to
much.
Brent. This one sort of makes sense. Hi, Brent.
Hey. How you doing, guys? How you doing this tonight?
Hi, good.
We are good. What did you think until late in life?
All right, so I was a senior in high school. I thought Alaska was an island west of Hawaii because it's that way on all the maps.
It really is an island on every map.
Yeah, because they just put the United States on a map, so Alaska is separated from the continental U.S. because there's, you know, Canada. So I guess that makes sense unless you look at a globe or look at a big North American map. I can see why people would think that. Now, Hawaii is not an island, right? I'm right about that.
That's connected.
That is connected. Okay.
Don't worry about that.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Laura writes in, "My sister never realized that Thanksgiving was on a Thursday every year. She was 25 years old and had never put two and two together. I was stunned."
Wow. Let's go to Ed. Hi, Ed. What did you think?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are good.
Hey, my story happened when I went to Whittier College, and they were doing a pledging for little brothers of sorority, and we had to do a scavenger hunt, and one of the items was for KY jelly, and so I went running into the supermarket looking for the KY jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I could find the smothered jelly. I could find the non-cherry plum jelly. And I could not find the KY jelly.
You thought it was actual jelly?
I did.
Sweet.
And I went back to the girl and said, "I cannot find this jelly." And they just started busting up laughing when I took them to the section with all the peanut butter and all the jelly.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Ed.
That's beautiful. Thanks for the call.
Let's take one more, Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Well, back in the day when it was Boys in the Hood, I didn't really realize that hood was short for neighborhood. I don't know what I thought it was, but it was about 10 years later before I put two and two together.
That's funny. You just thought it was an expression that meant, hey, this is where I live, but you never thought of the word neighborhood.
I thought it was slang or something. And then it kind of dawned on me, and then I was ashamed, so I really didn't tell anybody. So I decided to tell you guys first.
Yeah, no, thank you. And don't tell anyone else again.
All right. I'm sure nobody's listening.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
All right, 106.7 is K-R-O-Q.
Rodney, it's
you're listening
I just said
to
that.
Rodney on the Rock
nope.
Show.
No, nope. Right. Kevin and Bean Show, 7:38.
Coming up next, the Archies will be stopping by.
Nope. Not playing the other, not even real.
Sugar,
come on.
Sugar.
We brought in
Veronica and Betty.
We brought in Rodney because he's our resident
Jughead.
Music expert, knows everything about all bands, and that's why when we talk about Coachella,
all
we needed
right.
an expert in here.
It's time for Coachella again.
Coachella, right.
Going out to the Coachella Mad Valley and Music Festival.
Right.
Ronnie, a lot of people thought that they were crazy, as successful as Coachella has been over the years, to expand it in 2012 to two separate weekends. But that's what they're doing. The exact same lineup, 3 days, two weekends in a row, the weekend of April 13th and then again the weekend of April 20th at the Empire Polo Fields in Indio. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. How do you think that's going to go for them? You think they'll sell out both nights with both weekends with ease, Ronnie?
Can't believe they're moving it to India. That's crazy.
No, Indio.
Same place
you
it's been.
You have to take like a boat or a plane.
Nope, same place it's been, Indio.
One of those trains where everyone hangs on the outside.
No.
Go to Coachella Valley in India.
No.
Can we talk about the lineup, some of the big names for each night, Ronnie? Maybe you can give us your thoughts.
Great bands. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the first night, Friday night, April 13th, and then again on April 20th, you got your Black Keys headlining.
Right.
I'm sure you're a big fan of them, right?
Yeah, they should integrate.
Just a name.
The band. And Black Keys. There'd be more Godhead and peace and love.
A couple of bands reuniting for that opening night of Coachella.
The Archies?
Nope. Pulp from England, who we haven't seen together in many, many years. And the band Refuse, that Swedish punk band that's been broken up for almost 15 years, Rodney. It's a huge deal that they're getting back together again for this show.
All right. Refuse and Pulp Fiction. One show.
Wow.
All right.
The Arctic Monkeys are going to be playing that night. A Swedish House Mafia is also on the bill. M83, who's been huge for us here on K-Rock the last couple of months. Madness is going to be there. And you know they're going to make the crowd dance like crazy. Jimmy Cliff and Tim Armstrong had that record that came out together. You know our friend Tim Armstrong from Rancid. He's been working with the reggae legend Jimmy Cliff. They're performing together, Rodney.
All right. Bob Marley might come by. He might play with them.
I don't think so.
Not really.
Girls, reggae. And... Rapture, Frank Ocean, a lot of great bands on opening night. And then you go into Saturday night of both weekends. Radiohead is your headliner. Rodney, how about that?
Radiohead.
You like that? Yeah. Big fan?
I love Radiohead. Mm-hmm. Tom York.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's right.
Right, he played Darren on Bewitched.
What?
No, that's Dick York. That was the actor Dick York.
All right. No need to call him names.
Bon Iver is going to be playing on the middle night of each weekend. The Shins are playing. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds on the bill. Mike Snow, who's great. Andrew Bird, Feist. Godspeed You Black Emperor. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Here's what I love about Coachella.
The Shins are playing between the ankles and the knees.
Really?
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Can we put that in the file?
Coachella. Whatever kind of show it is you want it to be, if you want to go see hip-hop all weekend, you can, because there's hundreds of acts, and you can choose and run around between the acts and see whoever you want. If you want it to be a dance weekend, it can be a dance weekend. If you want to be an indie rock, it can be any. I mean, there's just so much of everything. You get to pick and choose your ideal lineup, see?
All right. The Monkees might play.
The Monkees are not playing. That's not one of the bands. All other bands are playing, but not the Monkees.
All right.
Or Archers.
And then Sunday, Kevin, I know you're going to be there till the bitter end. Probably both weekends, because Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg are going to be headlining together at Coachella. How about that?
All right. Dr. Drew is going to be there.
No, Dr. Dre.
This
is Dr. Dre, which is he's a rapper.
Drew Ricky is a Rockman.
What?
We're talking about Sunday the 20th and also...
The 15th and the 22nd.
15th and the 22nd. Right, yes. There we go. Yeah. At the Drive-In is back together. They've been broken up for 10 or 11, 12 years, something like that. They're going to be performing that night. The band Justice is going to be there. I know Dave is excited about that. Florence and the Machine is going to be there. LaRue, Beirut, Weekend, Girl Talk, Hives. I mean, unbelievable. All throughout the weekend, Rodney. So much to choose from.
Is the show in India or Beirut?
Indio.
No, Beirut is the name of an act that's going to be performing at Coachella. Listen, we want to give away...
Indio is out by Palm Springs in California. Indio.
India's not in California,
no.
Kevin.
God's sakes.
I have a map.
We want to give away a pair of tickets right now. First pair of tickets. And I
give them to the Archies.
We'll have to ask Chip. I don't know how this works. Are we giving away a pair of tickets for one weekend or for both? Or what? Do we even know? Have we even looked?
I'll look. You keep talking.
Okay, 1-800.
They say my show's sloppy.
520-1067. Tickets go on sale for Coachella 2012 this Friday at 10 o'clock, but you can call right now if you'd like to win your ticket.
You can pick which weekend you want to go.
All right.
Okay. All right.
That's the answer to your question. So.
All right. Shall we just make it caller 10? How about caller 10 right now? And Rodney, we'll give you the opportunity to give away the very first. Because you're a rock legend, we're going to let you give away the first pair of tickets for Coachella.
I love for the Coachella Valley and Music Hall show. Everyone who wants to come can come. We just give away all the tickets. How about that?
It's not at all how it works.
It doesn't work like that at all. No,
madness. I love madness.
Mm. I thought that was the one band on the bill that I knew you'd actually be excited about, Robbie.
Madness. They call it madness.
They do call it madness.
They do that dance and they have hats.
Yes, that is accurate, Robbie.
I love those hats they wear and they walk and step together.
All right, which line do we go to? Who's our winner?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the other room to tell me. They're not...
Well, we did say caller 10. It really shouldn't take this long.
They're not speedy. All right. Let's go to Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
How you doing, Josie?
Jose.
All right, Josie and the Pussycats. I love that film.
Yep, I'm actually on my way to work.
All right, what kind of work do you do?
I work for Uncle Sam.
Oh, you work for your uncle? That's great.
Yep.
I think he means he works for the government, Rodney.
I had an uncle once. He used to do bad things.
Oh, that's not.
All right, let's not get into that. Give him the good news. Tell Jose.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to India. We're going to send you to India.
Yeah.
No. It's Indio. It's in California by Palm Springs.
All right. The Coachella Painting and Arts Music Hall show.
That's not it at all.
All right. Sculptures.
It's Coachella. There may be some sculptures out there.
All right. Look out for the cows.
No.
All right.
Again, that's India.
The weekend of the 13th.
Very particular about their cows there. They're sacred.
That's India. This is India.
Or the weekend of the 20th, Jose. It's your choice of weekends to go see Coachella. You are the first and at this point only person who has won tickets from K-Rock for Coachella. Congratulations. Thank you, Rodney.
Slumdog Millionaire.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. All right. Thank you, Rodney. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Earlier this morning on the Kevin DeBeach Show, by the way, we world premiered brand new music from that young up-and-coming rapper known as the King of Mexico. This year's Clippers song. Clippers, rise up! Come on! He's doing Clippers in Paris this year, and Dave is happy to tell us that Jay-Z has already ripped him off and covered it and changed the lyrics around to change it to something else.
That's the way Jay-Z is, you know?
Freaking Jay-Z. Sure, that's what he does.
Thief. Thief.
I know. Anyway, if you want to hear Dave's song, you can go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. If you're a Clipper fan, this is a must-have for your collection. That has been debuted this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Do you think Clipper fans have a collection of songs, Bean?
I think they should. I would.
Should put on an album.
I don't have any Lakers songs.
Just put on a soundtrack.
Lakers don't need it.
They got more time to sing and write songs than Lakers fans do. Lakers fans are busy celebrating, you know, with parades and rings and things.
Remember, the Clipper season ends 2 months before the Lakers season, so they've got all that extra time. Anyway, go to krock.com and check out Dave's new song. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
While we're talking about Jay-Z, his daughter is, I don't know, how many days old?
Two?
2 days old. Maybe. She's already got a song. Already got a song on the charts.
Does she whip her hair back and forth?
Not yet, but she will. When she gets some, I'm sure she will whip it back and forth. She's already nominated for a BET award, I think. His new daughter, Blue Ivy Carter, appears on his new song, Glory. He just posted the song, Glory, featuring B.I.C., as she's known in the rap world.
Oh, I see.
Blue Ivy Carter.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it. He did it.
Sure.
It says featuring in the credits, B.I.C.
M.C. B.I.C.
She's the notorious B.I.C. he posted it to his website along with the simple message, life just got really good. Yeah, B.I.C. You want to hear a little taste of Glory featuring B.I.C.?
Sure.
Let's drop it.
The most amazing feeling I feel. Words can't describe it, the feeling is real. Baby, I paint the sky blue. My greatest creation was you. False alarms and false starts. All made better by the sound of your heart. Yeah.
It's not terrible.
I like it. It's not very heartfelt.
It's the best. Sky blue.
It's his best work ever. You're right.
That's not his best work ever by any stretch.
I don't know. You can really hear it.
I think he's saying the daughter is the best.
Oh, the daughter
is what he's saying. Yeah.
No, I'm saying that song is his best work ever.
Oh,
it's genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are all right. It's brilliant. You can't really hear it, but he's got crying. Her crying is featured on the track.
Yeah, that's can sort of kind of hear it.
Well, at the very end of the song, that's all.
She has a solo.
Yeah, she has a solo. Okay.
Yeah, he gives her a solo.
She rocks it out.
Yeah.
This kid's not going to be spoiled, right? She won't be in therapy, right?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
But that'll be a nice thing for her to have when she grows up.
Daddy, I want a yacht.
This was recorded the day I was born. I mean, that'll be a nice item.
Yeah, can they do anything in private? Can they do anything in private? Could he record that song and then put it aside for her and then let her have it and play it for her? Or do we have to, does it have to be a clothing line now? Does it have to, like, B.I.C. leggings have to go on the market?
They're small, but they're
holy impressive. Crap. It doesn't happen for them unless it happens in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know? It's funny to hear you say that. She's having a baby on the Soul Train Awards, wherever the hell she was, when she talked about her baby bump. I mean, everything's got to be just so big. Mm. So big.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. I hope the child has got a good nanny. That's all I care about. Positive influence there. Charlie Sheen.
I haven't heard his name in a while.
I know. He's been laying low. He has stepped forward to announce that his rock star from Mar phase is over.
What does that mean?
He means he's not crazy anymore. He told the crowd in San Francisco that he is not crazy anymore, that the winning craze was merely an episode. He says okay. that he is much more mellow, focused, and much more rooted in reality, he says.
It's over.
And he's looking forward to shooting 10 episodes of Anger Management over the next 6 weeks. Fans can look forward to his show debuting in the summertime. So
he's admitting to A, being crazy, and B.
I think so. I think he's kind of saying, wow, I was sort of out of control and sort of a loon.
Yeah. You see he got his teeth fixed?
No, I did not. I did not see that.
Doesn't have that big gap in his smile anymore. Got that fixed.
Well, it's over.
Yeah, it is over. And Justin Bieber wants to know he worships God by his own rules.
Okay.
So there, yo.
What does that mean?
Maybe he'll release Glory featuring JC. He just got a new tattoo of Jesus Christ on his calf. I don't know if you've seen the art or not. His left calf, he's rocking Jesus. And he was doing an interview, and they asked him, what church does he go to and that kind of stuff. And he says he doesn't go to church because he's got a direct relationship with the big man. He spends his time praying, he says. People who get into religion, into church and stuff, can get lost. But he's got the clean, streamlined, direct version to the big man.
I just can't hate him more.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You got a tattoo of Jesus? Seriously?
He's got it written on his torso, the word Jesus, and he just got Jesus on his calf.
Come on.
He's connected to the big man. He's the Tebow of music.
Yes.
Just as talented in his chosen profession. Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Shahi from Fairly Legal. She's 32 years old today. Comedian Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords is 38.
We see you girls checking out the front of our trunks. We see you girls looking at our junk, then checking out our rumps, then back to our sugar lumps.
Sugar lumps. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies is 48. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 53. George Foreman turned 63 years old today. Rod Stewart is 67. Chris Mac Daddy Smith of Criss Cross, make you wanna
jump, jump.
Mac Daddy will make you
jump.
Still wearing their clothes backwards, those guys. They are committed. They pick a style and they stick with it. I like that about them. 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Keep listening for your chance to win Coachella tickets here on the world famous K-Rock. Also, we'll hook you up with, not only Coachella, but an opportunity to be eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Tuesday to send you to see Radiohead in the south of France. What about that? Less than an hour from right now here on K-Rock. Our friend Tom Morello is on the phone. Of course, you know him as the Night Watchman. You know him as the guitarist for Rage Against the Machine. You know him as that guy who goes out to Gap stores every weekend and looks for ways to get arrested. And now he is back with a new comic book in stores now called Orchid. Tom, welcome back to the Kevin and Meat Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Is there nothing you can't do? I mean, come on now.
I like to keep a lot of plates spinning.
You do. Tell us about Orchid.
Yeah,
how it came about.
I've written a graphic novel, or rather a comic series for Dark Horse Comics called Orchid. And about 3 years ago or so, I had an inkling to tell a story, and I didn't really know how to do it. I didn't have time in my busy, rock and folk music and occupying lifestyle to sit down and write a 700-page novel, and I didn't want to be another Hollywood jackass with a screenplay.
Right.
So as a kid, I was a big fan of comic books, and my gateway back into that world was actually Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance.
Right.
Who was a friend and a very successful comic book author as well with his book, The Umbrella Academy. Anyway, I had this script, and he read it, and he liked it, and passed it on to the people at Dark Horse Comics, and the rest is history. Orchid is a story of I wanted to combine, I loved Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and those sort of epic fantasy stories as a kid, but the one element that I always thought they were missing was a class consciousness. So, it's basically Lord of the Rings meets the Battle of Algiers, and the main character is a 16-year-old street prostitute who becomes the Spartacus of whores. It's kind of like one part Suicide Girl and one part Joan of Arc. Well, anyway, this Saturday I'm doing a signing of my comic. We're in week four of month four. It's a 12 issue series, and we're on issue four right now. And at Golden Apple Comics in Los Angeles on Saturday at 1 p.m., I'm signing Orchid comic books.
By the way, Spartacus of Horror, I hope you at least consider that as a title at one time, because that's awesome.
It's a good elevator pitch, right?
Now, yeah.
Now, Ralph is a huge, huge comic book fan.
I am. I'm the resident comic book geek on the show. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And tell us what you thought about Orchid.
Yeah, I tell you, Tom, you know, you're a friend of the show, and so we would obviously give you the benefit of the doubt with anything like this. But I'm telling you, I'm a hardcore comic book fan. I've read the first three issues, and it's really one of the best comic books I've read in the past year or so. Really just brilliant stuff.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. One element that is, you know, unique about Orchid is that I have do a musical soundtrack for each issue, so that if you buy the comic, there's like a code where you can download musical score. You know, I've done a lot of film scoring over the course of the last 10 years, and so I wanted to apply those skills to the comic book.
Now, the premise itself, Tom, is just, I think, really resonant with what's going on politically now. It's sort of an extrapolation of maybe a worldview that you might share, that the corporations sort of cause the downfall of the planet, and that causes the tides to rise, and everyone's running for the high ground, and the rich and the powerful start engaging in slave trading again. How much, you know, of your political influences did you work into this sort of post-apocalyptic world?
Yeah, well, I mean, the key thing for me was to have it be a very exciting story. You know, I wanted there to be cool monsters and epic battles and narrow escapes, but also to infuse it with my worldview. You know, and it's in some ways it's kind of it's turned out to be kind of prescient. You know, that this is a world where there's been environmental disaster, which has been caused by corporate folly and greed and the genetic codes have been smashed, so humans are no longer at the top of the food chain, and the high ground belongs to the rich and the powerful. It's not a world of the haves and the have-nots. It's a world of the have-everythings and the have-nothings.
Yeah. So if I could just say, if I could interject here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the point of this is that you want to be the have-everythings, right? I mean, you want to be the 1%
no, Kevin,
on
that's
the top
not the
of the
point.
Mountain.
That's not the point, no.
That's
you
not
want to
the
be
point.
One of the bridge people. You want to rise up with General China and take on the fat cats.
Yeah, well, you'll have to wait and see. We're only on issue four, so it's hard to say. I refuse to reveal more than what's going on. But comic books have come a long way since I was a collector as a kid and as a teen, where it was all about, Hulk versus Thor and just punching each other out. And I got reintroduced to it with books like V for Vendetta, and there's another book called Red Star, which made me realize that there's no philosophical or emotional landscape that you can't deal with in comic books these days. And so it's a great artistic outlet, both musically for the scoring of the comics and writing them as well.
Are there many comic books with sort of messages woven in? I mean, it's not overwhelming. It's not like it ruins it. It makes it a great story. But do most comic books kind of weave in a message like you're?
Well, that might be a better question for your in-house comic book expert. I've found
Ralph?
The one of the things that I've found lacking in comics when I first collected them was the fact that it was always about, and those epic fantasy tales that I was talking about, it was always about some extraordinary person who has extraordinary powers, who is, or you're getting the king back in the castle or something like that. And, this is the heroine of this story, Orchid, who is, the 16-year-old street prostitute, is absolutely from the lowest rungs of society. And she has to, figure out what she's going
to
do.
And, Tom, to your credit, as a male writer, the female characters in this, both the Orchid and Opal, I think, are just tremendously strong and layered and complex. And I know you said you didn't want to write a screenplay, but I could absolutely see this up on a screen. I think it would make a great film. It's really entertaining.
Well, thanks. I mean, I drew, especially for Orchid, the main character, I drew on my experiences when I first moved to L.A. Like, I moved out here with dreams of rocking, some metal band on the Sunset Strip, and was utterly rejected by that. by that entire community.
Everybody said thanks, but no thanks.
They said thanks, but your hair is not the right length. Your complexion is not ready for the Sunset Strip band.
Sure.
But the community that first accepted me was the East Side, underground, just sort of burgeoning underground community. It was bands like Fishbone and Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right.
But also, it was a community of, there were a lot of drug addicts and a lot of prostitutes and people like that who, I from my wholesome Midwestern and then Ivy League upbringing, I was, you know, at first I was like, oh, man, I am not in Kansas anymore. But, you know, a lot of those people really had hearts of gold, and it's those, some of those experiences that I drew on when writing the character Orchid.
This is the voice of our friend Tom Morello here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Orchid, his graphic, is it fair to say graphic novel? Is that what we would call
it? It will one day be bound into a graphic novel, but it is a comic series.
You have the whole thing figured out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole story was written 3 years ago. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Hey, there's one thing I can almost guarantee is that President Romney doesn't ride in on a white horse and save the day at the end of it. I'll tell you that. The comic book signing with Tom Morello in person, Meet the Man and Make Sure to Not Miss a Single Issue, is going to be at the Golden Apple Comics, which really, as Ralph has brought up many times on this program before, I mean, that's comic book central for the United States, right? That's as good as it gets.
I'm only doing a couple of these. I did a New York one, one in the Northwest, and the L.A. one, so there's only three of these. So it's real fun way to, you know, meet fans. And one cool thing about this, about my foray into the world of comic books with Orchid, is that, you know, it does bring some music fans into the world of comics and some people that were not at all familiar with, you know, some sort of good old-fashioned comic geek folks get exposed to the music as well. So it's kind of a nice bridge.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is when Tom is going to be there at Golden Apple Comics, which is right down there on Melrose Avenue. You can go to goldenapplecomics.com for more information. And you're going to be signing issues for people. It's first come, first serve. There's no wristband or anything like that. It's just show up. And all the issues that have been released so far will be available for sale that day, too.
That's right. Saturday.
Tom, happy to promote the comic book, but L.A. Rising, is that happening again?
No plans right now. That was a fun time, though, wasn't it?
It sure was. All right. Tom Morello, thanks very much. Again, it is Saturday at 1 at Golden Apple Comics.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye now.
TV show is called Parenthood. Tuesday nights on NBC, we'll talk to actress Monica Potter. She plays Christina, don't you know, with the kid with the Asperger's, by the way. That's her character. Wow. Deal with the kid with the Asperger's. You guys have a lot in common. Anyway, we'll talk to her coming up in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jared and Brandy from Storage Wars next hour. Ralph's got the showbiz beat, too. First, though, how about this Kardashians magazine? Is that a thing that we need? Is that a thing that the world would be a better place if it exists?
According to the article, it might be as soon as this spring.
Really?
So in the next couple of months, you might see a Kardashians magazine. Now, what would be in it? I don't know. But they apparently made a deal with American Media, which also puts out Star, The National Enquirer, Shape, and Playboy. So it's a pretty reputable magazine, you know.
Well, they just have to put them on the front and have some pictures of them inside, and then other people probably do everything,
but
right?
But you know that the mom, Chris, she'll have her own column.
I'm sure that's
about
true.
About how great she is and how great her kids
are.
So
she'll be, quote-unquote, editor.
Yeah.
But who's out there, Lisa, with as much Kardashians as is already in your face? Who's out there going, I need more? I have many more questions, and I want to learn more about this family. I just can't imagine there's that much of an audience
for it.
All
the people that watch the show.
Really?
If you watch the show, you're into it.
Really? But you would think they would want more than that even?
Yes. Like, how do they get their makeup like that? And where do they get their clothes?
I want you all to die.
Those wonderful relationships.
We asked producer Dave if he could hook us up with someone to talk about the new magazine. And believe it or not, we have Khloe. Khloe Kardashian joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. She would certainly know. She's got to be part of this. Hi, Khloe.
Lamar, who's this, man?
Oh, Lamar. I'm sorry. We were holding for your wife. We're looking for Khloe Kardashian.
Yes. Yeah, this is Lamar, man.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, Lamar. I apologize.
It's Kevin and Bean back in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles? Yes. I left Los Angeles,
I know. I'm sorry about
that. I'm in Dallas now.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Now
I know. But
I got to wake up and talk to Cactus in the belt buckle. I talked to the lizard in the holster.
Never ends for you, does it? That's tough, man.
Got a horn in the puma.
Why are you barely able to score with Dallas, by the way? Don't you get like 4 points a night? What's happening, Lamar?
I'm still learning the system, man.
I see.
That's what it is. Okay.
Apparently, in Dallas, they want to put the ball in the hoop.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
It's a weird system.
That is a weird system.
I understand. All right. Well, we'll let you get back to your nap or whatever you're doing. Do you mind if we speak with your wife real quick?
All right. Okay. Chloe, California, talk to you all the time.
What?
Chloe, California, talk to you all the time.
Oh, here she comes. Here comes our delicate princess, Khloe Kardashian.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Nope. Still Kevin
Hi,
and Bean,
big
Chloe.
Boy.
Nope.
Hi,
still.
Carson.
Nope. Kevin and Bean. Kevin
Hi,
and Bean.
Cactus and Belt Buckle.
Nope. Kevin and Bean, your
Hi,
old friends.
In the holster.
Your old friends from Los Angeles,
Hi,
Chloe.
Horn and the Puma.
How are you enjoying Texas?
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it's us.
It's fine. It's a magical place. Dallas is so cosmopolitan.
Is it?
Is it?
It is if you drink enough Cosmopolitan.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I got you. Huh. Well, how are you being received there? I mean, you're kind of part of your family is kind of part of the fabric of Los Angeles now. But in Dallas, I mean, you're a little bit of an oddball over there, right?
No. They're used to large animals in Dallas.
That's true.
They've got horses and rodeos and bison and things.
Right.
So
okay.
They're taking me in as well, if I'm one of their own.
That's nice.
Oh, good. Yes. That's nice. Yeah.
I just don't go out during hunting season.
That's probably smart.
I think
smart.
That's wise. Wear that orange vest if you do, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, listen, we were reading a report here in Los Angeles about the Kardashian magazine.
Yes, how about that?
And we were concerned about your participation.
K-Mag.
K-Mag.
We're calling it K-Mag.
Okay.
The K-Mag.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great. It's going to be filled with recipes and makeup tips and relationship advice and bizarre science experiments.
What?
Fuse human DNA with Yeti DNA.
What are you talking about, Chloe?
This is my column.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes. How to breed new species of giant Amazon women.
I see. Yes. Okay. And it's going to be out this spring.
That's right.
That seems like you're going to have to move pretty quickly.
No, not at all. We've got Courtney drawing them as we speak.
Drawing them?
She's cranking them out with crayon.
Okay.
Crayon and construction paper. It's going to be a very personal magazine.
Sounds like it. I'm surprised there aren't little Korean kids or something, you know, that are already making your clothes that you can't enlist to do the magazine for you as well.
How dare you? How dare you suggest that? First of all, they don't speak English.
Right.
They just know how to run sewing machines.
I see.
So they're not much use in the magazine department.
Okay.
Do you know any poor English kids we could buy?
not for what you're paying them.
I
miss slavery.
Okay. You might not want to say that. Your husband's not around, is he?
I don't mean black people. I just mean when you could enslave anybody.
Just slavery.
Okay.
Just, you know, people who have money could buy people who are poor.
No, we're
times
moving
were
past
better
that.
Then.
No, that's not good.
The good old days.
We're way past that.
No. Whipping a poor guy. Okay. How I long for it.
Okay. Listen, we're going to let you go before you hang yourself even more here. But
okay,
don't talk like
bye, belt buckle.
Okay, bye. There's a fictional TV show called Parenthood, and it's about a family that has a kid with Asperger's. So, of course, that rings a bell with us as we live with somebody with Asperger's full time.
How?
For real.
Yep.
Dare you.
For real.
And how dare
so
you.
We wanted to have Monica Potter on to talk about show Parenthood. Hi, Monica.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Not a joke. What? My man Bean has Asperger's.
I did not know that.
Yes, he does.
Well,
he doesn't.
Dr. Drew says I do, but I don't know. I haven't heard from a reputable doctor yet, so I'm going to wait and see.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. Your show is one of the only shows I've ever seen that portrays Asperger's as a, you know, as though there were regular character, regular plotline. And I imagine you get so much response from that because it's a commonplace problem that is in millions of families, right?
You know what? We do. I had no idea when I signed on to do the show. I was actually having a conversation with Craig T. Nelson yesterday, not to name drop, but he's a pal of mine. And we just said the response for this show is incredible. There's so many people that you know, this touches their lives. And when they see you out in public, they just want to talk to you. And I was at Ralph's grocery store once, and this woman came up to me with her daughter, and she just was crying. And I was like, are you okay? Do you need help finding something? I had no idea. Right. Like, she just
can you not find the cereal aisle?
I was getting Gino's pizza rolls, but between me and myself. But she was just so grateful that we portrayed it in such a, you know, an honest way, and that has to do with our writers.
How weird! You're like a roving psychiatrist. Does people come up to you and go, "I have the same problem"?
No.
Help me!
There should be a disclaimer when I speak.
but you know what I love about it, though. Seriously, though, Monica, is that there's no they don't wrap it up at the end of the episode or anything like that, where everything's fine. I mean, it's an ongoing problem, and you so what I feel like is so realistic that you and the great Peter Krause, who plays your husband Adam on the show, you guys are allowed to show your frustration and pull your hair out and scream at each other and at your kid, because that's what it would be like in real life if this were really happening. You usually don't see anything quite that messy on network television.
No, not at all. And I also, Peter and I talked about, we treat Max as we would any of our kids in real life as well. Like, it's just, you get frustrated with him.
Yeah,
or,
I know.
You know, your real kids or whatever.
I know. There's a lot of hair pulling. There's a lot of yelling. I understand.
Oh, this isn't about me, Kevin. Come on.
I'm saying that you have it for real, though.
So we have the same real problems that they're portraying on Parenthood.
I never thought that I would even be interested in a show called Parenthood, not being a guy who has kids. But Peter Krause was my in to this show because I loved him so much on Sports Night and then 6 Feet Under. I said, I'll watch anything that dude does because, A, he's a great actor, but, B, he has great taste in television.
Yeah, he really
and then does. I just fell for everybody. I'm in love with Lauren Graham. I think Dax Shepard is great on the show. There's so many levels of, so many levels of family on the show, so many different relationships. But no family in the world spends as much time together as the Bravermans do on your TV show. None.
That's the other thing. Everybody really wants to go to our dinners. Everybody wants to come to the Sunday dinners where we eat and then play basketball or whatever.
Right.
Because it feels like kind of like the Waltons on crack, it's kind of one of those things that everybody sort of wants to be like and wants to be part of. So it's really cool. And yeah, our cast is awesome. Peter's actually directing the episode we're shooting right now.
Oh, no so, kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
It's a lot of fun.
This is the voice of actress Monica Potter here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about Parenthood, another new episode tonight at 10 on NBC. Do you mind if I file one tiny complaint with you, though, Monica?
Says the guy with Asperger's.
Go ahead.
How dare you?
Go ahead. You're so
hot in real life, yet they so mom you up on this show. Oh. I feel like they don't give you a chance to be as hot as you really are.
I think you're wrong. I think they make me look better. Normally, this season I just had a baby, so
right.
I'm allowed to sort of, schlep around a little bit.
For a couple of episodes.
Less baby, more bikini, Monica.
Oh,
that's
no.
What I'm talking about.
Unless I can wear Spanx under it, that's not happening. I think that's a new invention I might come up with.
I like it.
Spanx under a bikini. I like that, too.
Yeah, really.
Let's play a clip from last week's show, and you'll get an idea of what we're talking about, the relationship that Monica's character, Christina, has with her son, Max, on the show. Now, he's playing a video game, and Kevin, you could relate to this. He's got like hours invested into this video game.
Of course.
And mom says, hey, it's time to turn it off. We need to go. He says, no. Monica turns the TV off and Max flips the F out. Listen to this.
No!
We're done.
Do you realize what you just did?
Don't yell at me.
I've been working on that level for days.
Stop.
Such a bitch!
Do not That is it. You are being punished.
Like last Saturday when you said I wouldn't be able to go to the movies and then you totally forgot and we ended up going anyway.
You're not going on this trip.
What?
Get upstairs. Now, you're not going on this trip.
That's so unfair.
Don't throw stuff at me.
I hate you.
I'll say what's fair and what's not fair. I'm the mom. It's fair.
Sounds familiar.
Oh. You're not a mom until your kid screams, I hate you, Monica, right?
Right. Oh, God, I've heard it. Yeah.
Sounds vaguely familiar. That's all I'm saying.
I've heard it. I've been called names.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's very tense, that episode. Very tense. Well, you guys are doing great work over there. Tuesday nights at 10 on NBC. The show is called Parenthood. There's lots of hot chicks on the show. There's lots of fascinating plot lines. I'm telling you, if it's a show you haven't checked out yet, you owe it to yourself to do it because it's really, really good. I'm so happy you got to come on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thanks
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
Yep.
106.7.
Don't play that bastard.
Dave Hester's a dick.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show 853. Brandy and Jared are in the next room from Storage Wars on A&E, and they're going to be joining us in studio here in a minute. Have you chatted with them, Ralph? Have you been able to sell them anything yet?
It's like meeting old friends.
Are you kidding? Ralph's been in there the whole time.
But we've been hanging out now, and I've been asking all kinds of questions about the show and stuff. It's fascinating.
It's very nice
to meet them. They're very nice people.
I'm very excited. They'll be joining us coming up next here on the Kevin Beach Show. Plus, don't forget, we got your Coachella tickets, too. Ralph, you have a big announcement for you, not just a regular showbiz beat here. You got something special for the kids.
I do. Every year we always talk about the Paley Center for Media and their Paley Fest, which is the William S. Paley Television Festival. This is when they get the best of television. And through the month of March, you get to sit down and meet the casts and creators of some of your favorite TV shows. And they do it at a very small venue. It's the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. And from March 2nd through the 14th, they have evenings with these TV shows. So it's a small venue. You get to listen to them talk about the show, how it came about, how the cast was put together. You hear the actors and their reactions to the show. And then they open it up to questions to the audience, so you can ask your favorite TV shows a question you've always wanted to ask.
And it's not like they have the fourth leading role only,
no,
like
the
guy
the
that's on every other episode, that guy. They have the stars.
Yeah. So they've just released their lineup for this year's Paley Fest. It starts, as I mentioned, March the 2nd through the 14th. Here is the lineup for TV shows that they will be honoring this year, starting off with American Horror Story.
All right.
Fascinating television program. It's got a lot of fans. Due to popular demand, Community's coming back for a third time. This is the third time they're doing a night with the cast and creators of Community, so you can check
it out. So we can find out what they've been doing since the show was canceled?
How dare you, sir. Once Upon a Time, over there on ABC, that's being featured. New Girl! Come on with the New Girl.
New Girl.
The Office, revisiting The Office once again, now that they've got a brand new manager over there at Dunder Mifflin. Sons of Anarchy. That's a big show with a lot of hardcore fans. Oh, nothing. Just a little show I like to call Castle. Castle's being honored this year.
Sweet.
I'm currently offering up my services to moderate that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You moderate about half of them already.
I don't, but I would like to, especially Castle, because that's Donna Caddick. She's we have a special relationship.
I'm sure you think you do.
And Nathan Fillion, too. Super talented. See, last night, it was a brand new Castle last night.
I didn't. I did.
First new Castle back since the holidays. Great episode.
I didn't know. It's hard for me to keep track of what's coming back when. So,
Well, you should have just been watching The Bachelor ahead of that anyway, Kevin, and just kept your TV on.
But I had my TiVo set, so it recorded it.
The Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Nina Dobrev.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I love Nina Dobrev.
She's hot.
Revenge. Very popular show. It's really taken off for ABC. 2 and a Half Men. Since they revamped that, it'll be interesting to hear about the cast and creators and their experiences, what they're going through. How about a television show called Mad Men? Anyone interested in Mad Men coming back?
From the 80s, that show was on, right?
It's coming back in March, just in time. We'll be talking to the cast and creators of that show. And then the closing night presentation, Modern Family, will be that show. So that's your lineup right there. What a great lineup this year. They do a great job of this every year. Here's how you get tickets. Individual tickets go on sale to the general public January the 15th. You have to go to ticketweb.com. But here's the thing. It sells out almost immediately. So here's what you have to do. You should go to the Paley Center's website, which is paleyfest.org, and become a member of the museum. It used to be the Museum of Television and Radio. Now it's the Paley Center for Media. Because they get to buy their tickets January the 13th, 2 days before they go on sale to the general public. So if you become a member, you get all kinds of inside deals, and they've got premium festival passes and packages they'll put together for you, but it's definitely worth joining. It's also good joining just because the museum there in Beverly Hills is fascinating. You can go there and look up old TV shows and radio shows from decades and decades and decades ago. It's an amazing facility.
And so watch the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's your information. For more details or if anything you missed what I was talking about, paleyfest.org is the website to check out. And we're always happy to be working with them and again so this year. So good stuff. This Jason Segel, does it seem like there's a nicer guy in Hollywood than Jason Segel?
No, he's the best.
Does not, no.
I don't think so.
He talks to puppets, though. He does have some sort of a mental problem.
He does enjoy spending time with Muppets. There was a young actress-singer named Chelsea Gill. She's a struggling actress, recent graduate of Indiana University, 23 years old. She went to Chicago in August to try her hand at acting, but she was lonely. She missed her friends and family, so she would spend her afternoons watching movies. Most of those featured her favorite actor, Jason Segel. So she picks up her guitar, and she's strumming along, and she comes up with a little song that she eventually posts on YouTube as a video. Here's a little taste of that song.
Oh, Jason Segel, you're the ring to my Smeagol. Won't you sing a quirky ballad just for me? Now I know you're super busy, what with Sarah Marshall and Miss Piggy, but I swear I'm worth your time, just wait and see. Now I know what you're thinking, another crazy girl with heightened feelings, but I swear I'm sane, tested and disease-free.
So she goes on the song to say, the chorus is, have a drink with me, Jason Segel. She thought it was funny. She posted and got a lot of views. Well, turns out Jason Segel tweeted the link saying, this may be one of my favorite things ever. And then out of nowhere, she gets a phone call.
Yay! Huh.
Jason Segel saying, well, let's go out for that drink. And why don't you be my date at the Chicago Film Critics Awards?
Whoa.
That could go horribly wrong.
How horny is Jason Segel?
He's not. He said she could bring a friend. So it wasn't...
Was it creepy?
Right? It wasn't creepy. She brought her twin sister.
Okay, back to creepy.
I like where this is going.
Go Jason. Go Jason.
Love it.
We talked about my video. He really flattered me. He loved it. He's so down to earth. Was so funny. He's everything that he appears to be. So he did a nice thing for this girl who obviously is a big fan of his. And he made her.
Cool.
He made her week, year, month, life.
No kidding.
You name it. Good stuff. Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Shahi from Fairly Legal celebrates her birthday today. She's 32 years old today. We've been in touch with Sarah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Today,
yes.
Next to her
yes.
birthday. And she says she wants to come in maybe March, April.
Fantastic.
We'll have her in.
Is that when the show comes back?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Chris Mac Daddy Smith of Chris Cross. Make you want to... What happened back there?
I don't know.
Someone cut Beer Mug's throat? Chub, chub.
I was drinking water.
Chub, chub. He's 33 years old today. Nothing?
No, nothing?
Okay.
Sorry.
Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords is 38 years old today.
All the ladies at the party, come on and shake your boobies, yeah. Who likes to rock the party? I like to rock the party.
I miss Flight of the Conchords so much, Ralph.
Yeah, it was a great show. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies, 48 years old today. It was a simpler time. You didn't have to write any words for songs. Remember that?
That had to be filler. Like, yeah. Well, let's just until we come up with some lyrics.
Anybody got anything? Nope. We're about to go on stage. Damn. Kurtwood. Nope. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 53 years old today. George Foreman, former heavyweight champ, is 63. And singing legend Rod Stewart, 67. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So this is a moment all of us but Kevin have been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen.
How dare
from
you.
Storage Wars on A&E with new episodes airing again tonight. Jared and Brandy have joined us here in studio.
Thank you.
Hi, you guys. You're the first couple of Storage Wars.
We are.
You are.
Couple of Storage Wars what?
Jared, get a little closer. There
get
you
up on that microphone. There we go.
Got to be able to hear you well. You guys are the young guns, as they say on the show. How long have you been at it? Because you have your store down there in Orange, California, Now and Then, which is thrift store? What do you call it? Secondhand?
Yeah, it's a secondhand store, and next month will be 2 years we've had that.
So it's not long you've been doing
this. No, I've been buying storage units probably about 4.5 years now, total.
How does one even find out that that exists as a thing to do?
I didn't know until the show aired that people even did this.
Yeah, the funny thing is it's like a secret society. I mean, you got to know somebody who knows somebody who buys storage units. I mean, when I first started buying storage units, nobody would help me out. They wouldn't tell me where to find the listings, how to find out about it. I mean, I had my aunt actually worked for a storage facility, which is how I found out about them. And then I just started calling other facilities and asking them if they were having auctions and when they were and, you know, doing the legwork.
So basically, if people leave their stuff and don't pay, then these places just auction it off. And
there's a lot of circumstances, you know. Somebody died. Somebody left the country.
Way to make it mysterious, Brandy. Well done.
But there's this guy, the guy who on your show. What's the name of the auctioneer?
Dan,
right. He has a company where apparently he goes from facility to facility all over Southern California, and he runs these auctions. And I guess he gets a cut of whatever they make when they sell it, right?
Mm-hmm. He's got the best job in this industry because he makes money whether it's a good unit or not.
He risks
nothing and makes money. I wish I had his job.
Now, tell me about when you first got into this. And by the way, Jared, were you and Brandy already together when you started this business, or have you met since you got into the
No, me and Brandy have been together for 12 years.
Wow. Okay, great. So when you guys were sitting down going, all right, we're looking for something else to do, maybe this is an area of interest. How did you have the confidence to go, I'm going to go out there and put good money down on something that could just be a bag of somebody's old clothes? I mean, you really have to have faith and confidence and really be open-minded to the possibilities of what might happen to even start in this business.
For myself, I mean, it was really lack of anything better to do.
All right.
I mean, no people ask me all the time, like, you know, for a new guy getting into the industry, do you have any pointers? And I'm like, yeah, call your old boss and see if you can get your job back.
That's what
there's no security. There's no, I mean, every day I wake up to a gamble. Am I going to make money today? Am I going to lose money? Are my kids going to, you know, go to college in 20 years? I don't know.
And we see on the show they feature you guys. Sometimes you'll find that brass horse head or whatever that you took and got appraised. It was worth a whole bunch of money. But sometimes you'll go and you'll take a bath on some license plates or something. You end up losing money. What is the ratio? Because Kevin always says when we talk about the show, he goes, the majority of the stuff they buy has to be crap. They must be very rare when they find something valuable in there. What's it break down?
Here's what I figured it to be, and this is just real simple math. One out of five you make money on.
Really?
Three out of five you break even on. and one out of five you take a loss on, a substantial loss. So you hope that the money you make on that one is better than the money you lose on the other one, and the other three you just get through them as quick as you can.
Wow, it really does sound like gambling.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous amount of work.
It's backbreaking work. It's like moving out of your house 5 days a week.
Oh, man. But it's not your stuff. It's somebody else's smelly, crappy, dusty stuff that you got
to
deal
with. We go to the dump a couple of times a week as well.
What is the grossest thing that you found?
Can you say?
We find a lot of devices. Marital
aids?
Devices.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Some are store-bought. Right? Some are homemade. A lot of ingenuity out there. There's a lot of very creative people.
A little Briggs and Stratton motor on a wiffle ball bat.
This is the voices of Jared and Brandy in studio from Storage Wars on A&E with new episodes airing tonight. Brandy, let me ask you this question, because you and Jared, although you're partners, you work together on the show, you have different views. You approach each storage facility differently. How would you describe the difference between your approach and your husband's?
Jared's more of a gambler. I like to see something, you know, before I make a purchase like that.
And you're not at all afraid to mock him if you feel like he's made a poor choice, right? I mean, you're pretty hard on the dude sometimes.
You ride him sometimes when things go bad.
Oh, he deserves it.
But the guy's out there busting his butt trying to make a buck, and you can really just rake him over the coals when things go bad.
He does the same to me. He does the same to me.
Well, then they don't show it on TV because it looks like he's willing to give you the benefit of the doubt most of the time.
I've seen him say on the show, I'd like to make fun of Brandy about this, but I just can't because I know she feels bad enough already.
Is he lying?
He has sympathy.
I like the ratio of guys to women in this room right now.
Let me ask you one more question from the Kevin Amin Facebook page, and this is a great one, and then we'll take a break and come back more with our guests here on the Kevin Amin Show. How often do you actually sell the item for what we see it is appraised for when you go to the experts on the TV show?
Unlike the other people, we don't overestimate the prices. So
yeah, that freaking Dave Hester.
Oh, man. Dave.
He goes through and he'll say, that roll of toilet paper there, that's $400 all day right there. I can get that. Yeah. That stapler, that's good for a grand. And they just throw it up on the screen. They just take his word as gospel and put it up there. He can't be making those kind of numbers.
I tell you what, books are the hardest thing to sell. And
and he had like 16,000 of them last week.
And apparently he's going to make $30,000 in that.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yep.
I gotta go.
It's like a nightmare when they hear that sound.
To answer that question, though, when you go in to the guy who, you know, is the expert on Coke machines or whatever it is, and he says, you think you'll get $1,200 for this, I mean, generally those numbers are pretty accurate. You'll get $1,200 for it?
Sometimes you gotta hold on to something, you know, for quite a while before you actually get their estimated value. But
the numbers are within reason. It's just a matter of how long do you want to wait to sell it.
Because you have to find that buyer who's willing to pay that.
Right.
And sometimes, a lot of times, something will sit in my shop for a month and I'll be like, I'll take half just to get it out of there. Because if I don't move new merchandise, people stop coming in. I mean,
gotcha.
It's so interesting to hear it from your perspective. I mean, as fun as it is for us, the viewer, the fact that it really is hand-to-mouth some weeks, not knowing how much money you're going to make, that must be...
That makes you happier, being that they're...
No, I'm just saying, I have a lot of respect for people who get into this line of work, because you really are walking a tightrope every week to make your mortgage.
It's like the gold miners back in the Old West, just panning for gold in that stream, just hoping to find a nugget. Other than that, you got rocks and dirt.
Yeah.
You buy a lot of rocks and dirt.
Yeah, there's a lot of rocks and dirt.
That's what we're saying.
6 days a week you're working for free, and then it's that one day you hope it's going to make it all worth it.
But it is kind of thrilling to watch when you guys hit something and you find something of value, how excited it is. It must be like finding buried treasure, like that one safe you found with all those coins and stuff. That was insane. It was literally like finding a pirate's chest.
You know, the problem with safes is most of them are empty. And I found a lot of safes, and I've only came across two that were full. And one of them was the very first unit I ever bought, and one of them was the one you just saw on TV. And when you crack open a safe and it's full, like, there's nothing better. It's like your lotto numbers just hit.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like, that's it.
That's what hooked you, because that first time.
The worst. The first unit I ever bought had a safe in it, and it was full.
That's like going to Vegas and winning for the first
time.
Yeah,
hitting a jackpot at a slot machine the first time.
You go, I'm going back forever.
This is an ATM. It's just a moneymaker.
All right, we gotta take a break right now. Come back more with our guests, Jared and Brandy, of course, from Storage Wars on A&E. By the way, now and then, secondhandstore.com. That's the website for your store down in Tustin. And, Jared, you are also the co-owner of Outlaw Apparel, too. Buy outlawapparel.com if people want to look into that. that, we'll talk more about some of the stuff you found and some of the other personalities on the show, too, when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Young and the Giant on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Yep.
At 27 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Storage Wars.
That guy is.
Yep.
On A&E tonight again with new episodes. Jared and Brandy in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Before we talk about Dave, Kevin, are you warming up to the Storage Wars now that you've met these nice people and you see how hardworking and how sincere they are? What they're doing is good, right? It's cool.
I love Jared and I love Brandy.
Uh-huh.
They're awesome.
But
I can't get interested in other people's
junk. Just watch the show.
But no, it's about other people's junk.
But haven't you heard the stories that we've been telling?
I like the I feel bad saying this.
It's more than that.
You should.
You should feel bad. Speaking of liking Brandy, really quick, I just want to touch on this. It must be weird for you. But since the show's been on the air, you've become a little bit of a sex symbol. There are Facebook pages, websites dedicated to you and how hot you are and how much people love you.
My favorite one is the one devoted to my feet.
Your feet. There's a Brandy's feet site?
It's by the Toe Wizard.
But what's that phenomenon like when suddenly you're on television? You probably never saw this coming in a million years, and now you're like a sex symbol and have to deal with that.
Yeah, it's an odd development. You know, I don't see myself as anything other than, you know.
Does the guy email you and want to set up a toe shoot?
I'm just saying, I have to wash my own laundry now. That's what it's
like. Oh, right. I see how things have changed.
Things have changed. You've done your own laundry since you live with your mama.
The man's always the first to suffer. That's
Bring
how
it
works.
All right. I have a clip that shows a little bit of what goes on during the auctions, and some of which you two are going to hate because, you know.
Yep.
Is in it. Yeah. But here it goes.
When storage units are abandoned, the treasures within.
This is do or die.
Are put up for auction.
400.
Five.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that dude comes in at the last second. Let's talk about that dude.
Dave Hester.
Yeah. You hate him.
And his giant ego.
And his giant
strongly
bankroll.
Strongly dislike is a better word.
Yeah. No, I don't hate Dave.
Ralph watches it and he hates him.
I hate him. Because there's no reason for him to be how he behaves. There's no reason for it. If he wants to bid on those lockers, he wants to outbid you, you can absolutely do that without waiting until the very last second just to crush your spirit by jumping in with that obnoxious yup and just getting in your face with it. He's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, all you can really do is just give him a hug. I mean, that's really...
What?
He's lacking something. I don't know what it is.
He does seem like an unhappy person.
You just give him a hug and you go on.
Although I did see you two almost come to blows in a parking lot one time.
No, that was...
Thought you were going to throw down.
That was all for show. That was make-believe.
I don't know. Brandy took her coffee cup and said, just kick his ass already.
I'm usually the mediator, but he's a little out of line.
Sometimes he begs for it. Sometimes he wants to be beat up. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Him and his kid. I like to beat them both up.
A couple of more Storage Wars question from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Somebody wants to know because they have heard that some of the lots that that you guys bid on are set up, that they are prepared ahead of time, and that the people who are putting the television show together direct you toward the ones they want you to buy. Is there anything fake about the show at all, or is it all you have no idea what's going to happen when you bid?
No, that's called collusion. Anybody can come to any auction that we are at while we're filming, and they can see that every locker is available to bid for anyone.
Has that been a problem since the show's been on the air, where you used to go to an auction and maybe, you know, 20, 25 people are there bidding? Now, since the show has exposed this world, do you get hundreds of people showing up?
Definitely. Yes. I mean, I used to go to auctions where there was six people there. And if you had $300 in your pocket, you might buy every unit that day.
Right.
Now, there's 150 people. It takes 3 hours to get through it. And you can't buy anything for less than $2,000.
Because everyone's just bidding it up.
Especially, part of the downfall of being on the show is if I'm at an auction and it's public auctions, nothing stage, everything is bought. I mean, what you see is basically my life unfolding in front of you. I mean, it's really going down like that. And a lot of times I'll bid on a unit and people will bid just because I'm bidding.
Just to be sure.
They think I know what I'm doing, so they jump on the bandwagon and I get nothing.
Oh, man.
I have another clip, and this is of you guys trying. It must be the most difficult thing in the world to set a cap, to say this is as high as I'm going to go.
Especially when you get caught up in the fever of an auction.
And that's what this is.
Oh, my God, it's going to be so quiet today. So I got to ask you, are you a little nervous today without Jared? Or are you feeling pretty confident?
I'm pretty confident. I mean, I've been to enough auctions to know what the hell to do.
Looks like Brandy's here by herself.
I actually think Brandy's a better buyer than Jared. She can't do any worse.
What a dick. Or that's the Brandy chick clip.
Yeah, that's Dave Hester slamming Jared.
Yeah. No wonder everyone hates him. That guy is a dick.
Did you always go to the auctions with Jared, Brandy, when you guys started working?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
But now we go all the time. It just seems to work for us.
How many sets of eyes are better than one? Anyway,
how many do you go to?
What's your schedule like in a week?
Well, it depends on our filming schedule or our non-filming schedule, but
both.
And you go to as many as you have to. I mean, some weeks you go to auctions 5 days a week. Some days you can get 3 units in a day. It just depends. But basically, my turnover is I need to buy at least 2 to 3 good size units a week.
Okay,
just to keep your inventory
right.
In your
stores. Right, and a lot of days, I mean, if you don't see a good unit today, you have to go tomorrow. And you got to go to 6 locations. You start out at 9 o'clock, you go to the first auction, then you go 10, 11, 12, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Different facilities, different locations, 3 or 4 units, 5 units at each one, then you go to the next one.
And then while you're filming, they follow you guys around, they film everything you buy, probably, and then they cut together the best,
right.
The most interesting
yeah.
stuff.
Obviously,
right.
They're not going to show you the not so great units that we get, and they only
unless it's spectacularly bad,
yeah.
And then they do it.
I mean,
show
I tell people like when we beginning of season one, they wanted everything. They wanted to know the ins and outs. They went to the dump with me, with the trailer full of stuff. But it never made the show.
Were you trying to tell them, hey, listen, you're not going to use this, so don't even.
I wanted them to use it because that's the work of it. I mean, it's not. Barry, go in there and find a collectible and then go home. And your day's done. Like, everything has to be gone. That unit's got to be clean.
Yeah.
You own everything. You own the dirty socks. You own the everything.
Yeah.
How long do you have to clean that out? Because that's your responsibility once you buy it. That's the reason they do it, because they want that empty space to re-rent, right? How much time
do
they give you?
One day
to get it completely
empty.
You
buy it today, you move it tomorrow. That's it.
Wow, it's crazy.
Wow. Well, it's a fascinating look into a world that none of us knew even existed until Storage Wars came along. And I think you give good advice to people who enjoy the show, which is don't get into this line of work. It's
and don't start going to auctions and gunking up these people's way of making a living either, people. Just stay at home and watch it on television. Don't show up.
They don't see the dump stuff, They don't see all of the extra work that is involved. So they think it's a get-rich-quick scheme,
sure.
Everything's
got.
They show up to the auction, they quit their job and cashed in their 401k and leased a store, This is my first auction, Can't wait to buy.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
What are you thinking?
Well, people can come down and meet you, and they can you buy stuff down at the Now and Then secondhand store in Orange, too. If people just want to walk in, cut the storage locker out of the equation altogether and just come in, you'll just buy stuff from them,
That's
too,
true.
Right?
But
yeah,
don't bring them the socks and don't bring them the dirty underwear.
Yeah, bring them the good stuff.
Right. Right. All right, thanks for coming in, guys. We appreciate it. Jared and Brandy from Storage Wars, and it is on...
Tonight on A&E.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. You. We enjoyed it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:44.
I miss Brandy. What?
Already?
Yeah. Do you? Yeah. You guys have a real connection?
Yeah. Jared, too.
Maybe she'll throw over Jared and take you on.
I don't want that. I want them to stay and be happy, but I want to be their friend. I want to go down and work it Now and Then. I might have to leave this job and just work behind the counter at Now and Then.
Well, good luck with that. I hope you'll stay in touch.
Maybe.
Okay. Ralph is here in one of his final showbiz reports then on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's going on?
Well, it is Tuesday. That means we take a look at the... this isn't working. That's a power thing, right? We got
probably a power thing, yeah.
We have to reboot this or something? Oh, never mind. Click, click. There we go.
We've got electricity trouble at K-Rock right
now. The bathroom is... pitch black.
Pitch black, yeah. All the hallways are black. The studio was black.
So you're trying to pee... And that's a gamble, too. That's like we were talking about Storage Wars. It's sort of just a crapshoot, sometimes literally. You don't know where it is. You just do your best. That's all I
And it's
doing.
Not like you can leave the door open to get some light in.
No. So you just have to sort of guesstimate where you're...
And you do not want to feel your way around.
No, you do not. So. Not in that bathroom. It is Tuesday. It means we take a look at our new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD that you can check out for your entertainment dollar. Boardwalk Empire, the first complete season available in the box set is available today.
So good.
Boardwalk Empire is a great, great series. If you're not watching, here's your opportunity. Movies that you may have missed, like Moneyball, are available on DVD today with Brad Pitt and Robin Wright and Jonah Hill. The Adjustment Bureau, starring Matt Damon and Emily Blunt. It's so funny now when you see DVD released press releases and they tell you what's coming out. Because the shows are on cable and on demand, so early and so often, you feel like the Adjustment Bureau, didn't that come out like in 1985? Yeah. I feel like that movie's been around forever, but it's just getting to be on DVD now. Killer Elite with Jason Statham and Clive Owen. It's also available. Charlie St. Cloud with Zac Efron. Bean, do you own that yet?
No, I don't even engage him on that.
I didn't even see it.
I just it comes in the Bean pack. It's called. It's it's the movie and some lotion and a ShamWow.
Oh,
Zach has turned into a pretty good actor, by the way.
All I know is he has three nipples. That's all I know about the man. What's your number with Anna Faris? Paul, starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, along with Seth Rogen doing the voice of Paul. I didn't catch that in theaters, and I'd like to see that.
Me
too. I'm glad it's on DVD. Sinners and Saints with Sean Patrick Flannery and The Scorpion King 3, Battle for Redemption, with Victor Webster and Ron Perlman. Sounds like a direct-to-DVD release to me. Fallen Empires by Snow Patrol. What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
Sorry, I didn't realize yours was back up. I thought yours was still down. I was trying to help you out. Sorry.
I appreciate that. Fallen Empires by Snow Patrol and Peace of Mind by Revolution. Also,
whatever that is.
They sound like they are a band of some kind. While we're talking about movies, let's talk about sequels and remakes and other unnecessary things. Bridesmaids 2? Do we need Bridesmaids 2? Hasn't the complete Bridesmaids story been told?
Sure seems like it.
Well, I loved that film. It was very, very funny.
It
was
Hangover 2, too.
It was a very funny movie.
They are going to make Bridesmaids 2. With or without Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, by the way.
The funny ones.
That
scares
me.
Then I'm not
going to
see that.
That scares me.
Kristen Wiig has no interest in doing it. Universal said they'll do it without her because they own the film. Melissa McCarthy was asked this week, and she said, God, I wouldn't want to. I would never want to. I think it's a terrible idea, she said. So without some of the bigger pieces in that film, you may be hard-pressed to equal its success. Of course, that hasn't stopped them before. More movies that will suck. Universal has announced that they are making another spinoff from Bruce Almighty, the Jim Carrey film. You may remember Evan Almighty with Steve Carell, and there is a third Almighty currently in the works.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. The guy, the head of Universal Pictures, I believe it was Universal, went to some college campus and apologized for the crappy movies that Universal makes.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, The Wolfman. He said, that was one of the worst movies ever. I really apologize about it. That was horrible. Well, then stop making crappy movies. It's so easy to control. You're the guy who makes the movies. Just stop it.
So change things?
So you don't have to apologize anymore. This way you won't be apologizing for Phil Almighty a year from now if you just put the brakes on it now. Here's your chance. Step up to the plate.
We've always had this problem where art intersects with commerce. I mean, look.
I want them to make money. I'm not anti-money.
Right, but so many of the movies that do make money, and I'll give you a perfect example, is that, what's that that horror movie that's in theaters right now that by all accounts is one of the worst movies ever?
The Devil Inside.
Huge, huge hit.
Yeah.
What do you expect them to do?
That's a great movie.
They're going to make another one because it made 30 times their money back. I mean, that's just what their job is to make money.
I understand.
They got stockholders.
I understand that, but there was never a Devil Inside 0. I mean, this isn't a sequel to Devil Inside. This is an original idea. Somebody had to put this movie together and made a big hit out of it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's proof that people are hungry for sort of fresh new films out there. No one's clamoring for the next Almighty movie.
No.
Nobody wants a reboot of Police Academy. I guarantee you, Police Academy fans don't want to see a reboot of Police Academy.
I don't think Police Academy fans exist.
If they did, anymore. They wouldn't want you to make a new one. There's stuff out there that can be made for cheap that you can make money on, I promise you.
Yeah.
Just seems...
You need to get in the movie business, Rob. You need to tell them what they're missing.
Yeah, there's no way I could succeed there because it's madness. It's like Alice in Wonderland. There's a guy in a giant hat who's in a mouse drinking tea. It's just a lunatic asylum. I would blow a blood vessel about the first 30 minutes if I worked at a movie studio.
Yeah.
Because they just don't operate with any sort of logic.
Where's the good stuff like the Queen Latifah, Dolly Parton, Joyful
right,
Noise movie? Where's
right.
the new stuff that we want?
Where's that Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton in a choir? Now that's the kind of film we want to see. Somebody said yes to that.
What? Yeah.
A choir movie? All right. Well, we'll only make it, though, if you get Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sarah Shahi. How much do we love her?
All.
Star of Fairly Legal. She was on Life, of course, before that. 32 years old today. Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords, 38 years old today. 200 bucks on the dance floor. There are. 200 bucks on the dance floor. Too many.
Yep,
that's true.
He's 38. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies is 48 years old today.
You want it? I got it. You want it?
Sure, yeah.
That's the highlight.
I did like that Superman song they used to. Remember that?
Yeah, that
Superman
was a good song.
Superman never made any money, no, saving the day from some grinder. I like that song. George Foreman, 63 years old today. Rod Stewart is 76. And Chris Daddy Mac Smith of Criss Cross. Make you want to
jump. He's 33
years old.
A lot of that song.
Weren't these kids like 12 or something when they made this song?
Yeah, they're real young, yeah. Didn't put a lot of work into the lyrics,
and
I can tell
12.
You that.
They, look, it could have been worse. They could have been whipping their hair back
That's
and forth.
That's true.
So we got lucky.
That's a good point.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah. Hey.
We have comedian Eddie Ift in studio.
Oh, he's the best.
He is so funny. We have Dana White, the president of the UFC.
Wow.
On tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show, Stupid Ways You Hurt Yourself. Based on one of the Los Angeles Kings who hurt his back eating pancakes. He was eating pancakes.
That could be very strenuous.
That's the riskiest breakfast of all.
He was eating pancakes and hurt his back.
And we have a silver dollar?
I don't know.
Oh, we'll have to ask.
And we've got your tickets for Coachella. So keep listening for that. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.